Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street. You just can't buy a Nissan for less. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together better. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Sophomore kicker Avery Wilson lets it fly, and DeAndre Morin takes it at the 5-yard line out to the 15 and runs into a stack of blue jerseys, taken down at the 20-yard line, and we are underway from Quincy between the Silver Streaks and the Blue Devils in an all-important Western Big Six Conference matchup, a game that has playoff implications as well. As we talked about, the winner of this game gets the all-important fifth victory, which makes the winner playoff eligible. And then it comes down to points and all kinds of other things. And, of course, one other game to play. Quincy's got a big rivalry game next week at home against Quincy Notre Dame. First time those two teams will play in 30 years. And the Silver Streaks have a difficult matchup of their own that we can talk about more. The handoff goes to Morin up the middle, dodges a tackle, steps through the hole, and goes forward to the 26-yard line. If the Silver Streaks can do that all night long, we'll have some fun here tonight.
Well, you know, interesting, you had made a copy of an article out of the Quad City newspaper, out of the Quad Cities Online. Daniel McCarowitz, doing some research, and was showing that at no time has there been a five-way tie in any sport in this conference.
Up the middle, Nick Myler breaks free into the secondary, crosses into Quincy territory, bounces off a couple of men, the ball pops free, and Caleb Clay recovers it inside the Quincy 30-yard line. Myler bounced off a man. He hasn't coughed the ball up very much this year. It looked like he spun into a tackle, and he's shaking his right hand down there. And Caleb Clay, as the ball popped free, it went deeper into Quincy territory, and the Silver Streaks have it at the Blue Devil 29-yard line, and two big holes opened up by that Quincy off, or by the Silver Streaks offensive line to start the game.
Thing of beauty to see Myler running untouched up the middle there for a long stretch, and the Streaks going with the hurry-up offense now that they got it back, actually gained another 5 yards on the fumble.
From the Quincy 29, the handoff to Morin, trying to get to the outside off one tackle, and gets to the 25-yard line to pick up four more. And good pursuit by the Blue Devil defense. It looked like a big hole across the right side for Morin opening up, but then the Quincy defense recovered and shut it down. Still goes as a gain of four. It'll be second and six for the Silver Streaks. As in four, three plays, they have taken it down to the Blue Devil 25-yard line.
Hopefully they can keep it going. It would be great to make a statement here on the opening drive and get an early lead at Quincy.
Morin and Mitchell go out wide to the right. They go back to Myler left. Gets underneath the hole forward to the 21-yard line for a gain of four more. And the Silver Streaks face their first third down of the night, but it's just third and two, close to the Quincy 20. So probably two down territory. Streaks don't want to go to that second down if they don't have to, obviously.
Silver Streaks working towards the end of the field where the brand new scoreboard is. For many years, we looked straight across. It was a very unusual scoreboard at the 50-yard line, but now it's at the end. Beautiful video board, can put up pictures, advertisements, and, of course, keeps the all-important score.
Third and two for the Silver Streaks. Goes to Myler, hops a man, now sidesteps left to the 10, goes for the far corner, he's hit, but he's in for the touchdown, and the Silver Streaks, in five plays, take it 80 yards downfield and get a big third down conversion to take a 6-0 lead.
Very much a surprise, not just to score on the first series, but to dominate on the ground all the way up the field. Myler, the previous carry, had gone up the middle of the field. That time he goes middle and then cuts left, and finally got dragged down from behind, but not until he'd hit the corner of the end zone. Streaks will now go in there. If you're the defense, a bit of a confusing setup for the extra point where they go to the left side. Now they all come back to the middle. Looks like they will kick it.
And that kicker for the Silver Streaks is Joe Anderson, who's done a terrific job this year for Galesburg. 19 of 22 on the extra point attempts, and he makes it 20 of 23. And 2 minutes and 1 second into the game, just like Rock Island opened against Galesburg last week with a five-play scoring drive that took just over 2 minutes off the clock and went with a bit of a hurry-up offense. The Silver Streaks replicate that and do it all on the ground, whereas Rock Island did a lot of it through the air on the opening drive last week. And the Silver Streaks do make quite a statement here to start off the game.
Well, and they used both runners. Morin had a couple of nice runs, and then Miter with the long one, and then the touchdown run eventually. And that's really what it takes. If you get a little too one-dimensional, I thought last week Morin did have a couple of runs around the end, but it was more the Miter show catching the ball and running the ball. If we get DeAndre into the mix, keeps the defense off guard, didn't have to put the ball in the air there either, and that's something we've proven we can do a little bit as well. So Quincy's been in some high-scoring games this year, and if their defense isn't going to be any better than that tonight, looks like we're going to have another one, because we've got to assume that they'll put some points up against the Silver Streaks, and we'll see if they do on their first possession.
Their defense has struggled at times this year. Carson Gay and Cameron Gay deep, and the Silver Streaks send it to the far side to Carson Gay, who receives it at the 13-yard line, sidesteps left, tries to go up the middle of the field, and he's got some running room. He may take it all the way to the Galesburg 40. 30. Quincy's going to come right back with an answer, and a long touchdown run back on the kickoff, and Quincy is within 1 point of tying it up.
Like I said, we could see some points tonight. Yeah, up here in the press box in Flint Stadium, this is a big place. You could see that unfolding, and you knew if he got through that first line that there was a whole lot of green in front of him, and he did. He just made one quick sidestep and inside the left hash marks and then cut it right up the field. I'm not sure. Did anybody touch him? Maybe somebody might have touched him, but it wasn't for long.
An 87-yard kickoff return by Carson Day, who is among the most athletic and quickest players on this Quincy football team. And 2 minutes and 14 seconds into this game, we have two touchdowns already. And the extra point coming from senior Nathan Cuny. The snap is good. The hold is good. The kick is good. And we are tied at 7 with 9:46 to go in the opening quarter. Well, we've already got more than half as many points as we had the entire sophomore game, which ended 24-0 in Quincy's favor. And bang, bang, we're tied at 7 here.
Yeah, I thought the sophomore effort was a little disappointing tonight. I was down on the sidelines, and there just wasn't any life down there at all. I mean, they were getting roughed up. At one time, they nearly scored, and then they threw an interception and at about the 15-yard line, and just a real tough night all the way around for the sophomores down here. And as always, when you see a sophomore score like that, you hope that in 2 years it's not the same thing. Many times it changes once the guys get into the varsity level.
Now, I don't know exactly what the score is, but Rock Island fumbled on its opening drive and now scored on the last three. So if there's any doubt about, you know, how things might play out here in the conference, yeah, Silver Streaks are finding out early. They better get business taken care of if that game holds up the way it started up there between the Rocks and the Pioneers.
Well, and the Pioneers can't. They're not the type of team that can afford to get behind 2 and 3 touchdowns. They just don't have that much offensive firepower. They've got to play better defense than that.
All right, so let's see what the Quincy strategy is here. Avery Wilson has it queued up at the 40, kicking into a little bit of a win. A high kick will be taken right at the goal line, and DeAndre Morin fumbles it. It falls back into the end zone, and the Silver Streaks for the second straight drive will start from their own 20.
Well, I'm sure disappointing on the Silver Streak sideline after that tremendous opening drive to just give the lead, or at least the tie, right back on the kickoff. Our special teams, by and large, have been pretty good this year. But had a few gaffes against Rock Island that they got some return yardage, but with their speed, you expect that. This one, you hated to see on that opening kick return.
Hand off to Morin, up the middle, finds room to run, breaks free of a tackle, and he's across the 35 before dragged down from behind up to the 37-yard line. And a big run for DeAndre Morin on first down of 17. Move the chains to the Galesburg 37-yard line.
Galesburg offensive line doing a good job up there, opening some nice size holes. In fact, more room to run inside already tonight than we saw much at all of last week.
Jacob Ross, the junior quarterback for the Silver Streaks, comes up under center in a two tight end set. One wide out to each side, handoff up the middle to Myler, breaks free, gets to the outside to the 50, and it's a run down inside the Quincy 40-yard line. He avoids another tackle and finally stopped inside the 35 to the 34-yard line. And a gain of another 29 for Nick Myler, who in four carries has 88 yards already.
Well, you know, I've got to wonder about the linebackers for Quincy, because it's one thing to get through the line, but like Myler did there, he got a couple of yards deep, a spot where normally you get wrapped up by a linebacker, and I mean, he stood there for a second. Nobody touched him.
Yep.
And then he just cuts to the left and turns it on again. So Quincy not doing a very good job in filling the gaps.
They go to Myler, trying to bounce to the outside and thrown down across the 30 to the 29-yard line. He'll pick up five more. Well, talking about the Galesburg defense and how they got pretty good lick last week, giving up 41 to Rock Island. The Silver Streaks had not given up a first-quarter score up to last week since the Dunlap game on the second play of the season. That was the only touchdown the Silver Streaks had surrendered in the first quarter. Now they've given up another one here tonight against Quincy, but we're tied at seven. They go to Morin. This time penetration in the backfield, and Morin gets dragged down by two defenders at the 31-yard line. He'll lose two on the play, and it'll bring up third and seven for the Streaks.
Well, and if I remember, up until last week, we hadn't given up a point in the third quarter, had
we? At all. Nope. And then we gave up two touchdowns.
Yeah. You knew you probably couldn't extend that streak all year, but there's just little things like that. If the coaches can point out, it creates a little air of confidence, like this, we own this time. And I think that's part of the fourth quarter when the guys all raise their hands and yell four. They want to feel like that's a quarter they own.
Ross rolling right on third and seven, dumps it off into the flat. It's caught by Myler, and he's dragged down from behind and all the way down to the 22-yard line, but that's enough to move the chain. Silver Streaks pick up nine. They needed seven. Might have been a bit of a horse collar as Myler got dragged down high at the shoulder pads from just underneath the helmet.
You know, I'm not sure we've seen that called all year. There was an opportunity, I think, for that once last week, too, that did not get called. And it seemed like the first year they instituted that rule, we saw it quite a bit, but you don't see it too much. I haven't seen much since.
New set of downs for the Silver Streaks. Out of the shotgun, handoff goes up the middle. Morin hit a couple of times. Forward progress inside the 21. So short gain on first down for the Silver Streaks. It'll be second and nine. 7:33 to go in the first quarter. We're tied at seven.
This would be interesting if you're the Quincy offensive unit. If the Streaks chew a little more time on this drive, we'll be very deep into the first quarter before they've ever even had a chance to take a snap after the kickoff return for the touchdown.
Streaks send three wideouts to the left. More on the single setback just to the right of Ross, who takes the short snap, swings it to the outside. Good block by on the outside by Clay, but Myler never was able to get freed up after the catch, and it'll be no gain despite the completion. It'll bring up third and nine.
Play a little slow to develop. I was a little nervous on the pass. So Ross delayed in getting it out there, and I think that allowed the defense to adjust a bit, and Myler just didn't have much of any room to run.
Nick Myler coming off a career game in receiving yards last week. Didn't get any touchdowns through the air, but he had 11 catches for 168 yards. As most of the Streaks' touchdowns were on the ground. 6:35 to go opening quarter, third and nine for the Silver Streaks, and a tie ball game. Rolling right, Ross. And it's deflected and nearly picked off, thrown after the deflection, and it ended up going behind the defender, Devin Smith, the strong safety. It falls incomplete and brings up fourth and nine.
See, and there's another one, especially being up high looking at that. There's no question he should have gone ahead and kept that. He probably could have picked up an easy 5 yards, maybe even enough for the first down, but insisted on throwing it into what looked to be double coverage there. That pass didn't have much of a chance at all, and in hindsight, you'd love to just see him keep that and run it. Again, Ross, a junior quarterback, and still some of the decision-making he's still working at. Granted, he did it as a sophomore, but it's different as a varsity in making that choice.
Stark County in a statement game, leading United 28-0 in the second quarter. Fake handoff on the play fake. Ross rolling right, in pressure underneath, throws it, and it's caught by Myler down to the 13-yard line with a man draped all over him from behind. But unfortunately for the Streaks, he's going to end up a yard short. How he ever even came up with that to begin with is amazing. But just a yard short of the first down on fourth down, and the Streaks give it up, turning it back over to Quincy.
Well, that's what we've learned to know about Nick Myler. If you get it in the neighborhood, he'll find a way to catch it. He had a taller player draped all over him and still able to come away with that, but not able to squirt forward for the extra yard he needed. Quincy takes over with 6:19 to go in the first quarter and tie game.
And they have it at their own 13-yard line. First play from scrimmage for the Blue Devils goes up the middle, and room to run for the Blue Devils, who run the wing tee offense, and the handoff to Carson Gay, the wing back, and he'll pick up nine on first down. Carson Gay, Cameron Gay, they both function in multiple ways in this Quincy offense, and they both are very dangerous with big play potential.
And as Mike Washabaugh pointed out on the scouting report, very athletic. We'll be calling their name during the basketball season coming up not too far from now.
On the second handoff, the quarterback is Caleb Smith, who goes up the middle. Devin Smith was his first carry. Smith, the fullback. Caleb Smith, the quarterback. So you're going to hear lots of Smiths, lots of Gays tonight out of the Quincy offense, and they have a first down at the 25 after a gain of three.
I mentioned basketball with the Gay brothers. You've also got girls basketball starting up in 2 weeks for practice. We'll talk with Evan Massey, the Streaks girls basketball coach, here at halftime.
And off to the outside, and now the Streaks get Quincy running east-west instead of north-south and trying to string out Cameron Gay to the outside, and he can't get much, and that's what the Silver Streaks want to try to do a little bit more of. Not let Quincy just take it up the middle where they have a little maybe more big play potential. Second and nine for the Blue Devils from their own 26-yard line of a tie ball game, 7-7, 5 minutes to go in this first quarter. Quarterback Caleb Smith brings the team set. Hands off to the left side, trying to get to the outside. And again, good Streaks defense, keeping the play contained for Devin Smith, who gains short yardage on second down. Picks up a couple. It'll bring up third and seven.
Last week, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game went to a defenseman, Mike Velasquez, who was instrumental in a few times at least, forcing a lot of pressure on the Rock Island quarterback. And Mike, probably our best pass rusher and certainly one of our best defenders. We've talked that we'd love to see him on the all-conference team at the end of the season.
Now it looks like Caleb Smith maybe going to play the change the play at the line of scrimmage. Checks the plays on his wrist. Hands off to the right side. Cameron Gay trying to get to the outside. Flag down in the backfield as Cameron Gay busts through a tackle and dives across the 35. Enough for the first down to the 36. But there's the signal of a hold from the referee, so it will come back. And that was after Cameron Gay was a good 5 yards out of the backfield and upfield before that flag came down all the way back at the 25.
Well, as always, when they come down here, a big crowd in the stands below us. A full-size concrete stadium. If you've never been down here before, it's a big facility. They used it for Quincy College, we were told, for about 5 years, and they got that renovated, and so they're using their own stadium. This is strictly Quincy Public Schools territory here now, and a big turnout, a lot of the student body down low, and you got a big junior high group that sits down to the right side, so a lot of students involved. And of course it's senior night, so you've got a few extra folks here, I think, for the final home game, at least of the regular season for Quincy. And even if they do make the playoffs with as many losses as they have, you figure they'll probably be on the road.
Dropping back into the shotgun now, Caleb Smith rolling left, pressure in the backfield, trying to scamper away from it, just throws it away out of bounds, and the flag comes late. And I hope we're going to have grounding. I hope we're not going to have a late hit by the Silver Streaks as they ran Caleb Smith out of bounds.
Yeah, that was...
There was no receiver anywhere near.
Sure wasn't.
But he was also outside the tackle box, too.
I wonder if they're going to wave it off.
The referee pulled his flag out. Nope, they're going to say intentional grounding. So the penalty holds. Good defense by the Silver Streaks to pressure Caleb Smith. And that's where that Silver Streak speed on the defense comes into play, because Caleb Smith, all he could really do was run and run and run and never really got a good look downfield and finally just had to get rid of it. And the grounding is going to take this back to the 10-yard line. So it's now fourth and 30 with the loss of down.
What a difference. It looked like they had the first down of a couple of plays ago, and then they get the holding penalty, and then that loss of down, loss of yardage, and they're kicking out of their own end zone.
So the punter gets the kick away, but it's a very short kick and a wobbler bouncing at the 26-yard line. It takes a Quincy roll before finally going out of bounds at the 38-yard line of the Blue Devils. So the Streaks have field position to their advantage here with 3:40 to go in a 7-7 ball game in this first quarter.
Yeah, and they probably got more out of that punt than they should have. I think that ball hit it inside the 30, didn't it? Easily.
Yeah, I think it bounced at the 28.
So they got about 10 yards on the roll, but still, you'll never argue when you get the ball at the opponent's 38 to start a drive here, and the Streaks quickly out on offense, hoping to take the lead here toward the end of the first quarter.
Streaks scored on their opening possession. Quincy responded with a kickoff return. We're tied at 7. The pitch goes to Morin to the outside, gets a tackle that frees him to the 30, dives forward to the 25-yard line, 2 yards past the first down marker. So a good run by Morin on first down, and the Silver Streaks move the chains deeper into Blue Devil territory. trying to regain the lead here with under 3.5 minutes to go in the first quarter.
And ever involved in most plays, Nick Miter out there made a great lead block and gave Morin that spring he needed to get out there and turn the corner. And we are walking backwards.
I did not. Oh, there's a flag down way on this side of the field.
Maybe they're going to not like the block that Nick threw. I thought it was all right.
I thought it was too. So they're going to take it back 10 yards, back to the 45, to the 46-yard line. So the 10-yard penalty negates a 13-yard run by DeAndre Morin, Galesburg's first penalty of the night.
Well, both the offenses more moving backwards here at the end of the first quarter than forwards.
Sure enough.
So maybe our 60-55 game won't happen after all. Just 7-7 still.
Or anything close to what Elmwood, Brimfield, and Farmington did.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Here's the play fake. Down the middle, and through the arms of Jacob Carl, who was open, but the pass thrown a little bit behind him. He whirled around with it and had it, but it went through his arms, incomplete at the 35, and Jacob would have had room to run had he hauled that one in.
Yeah, really good play call, and that's frustrating from the sidelines, you know, when you see an opportunity, and then you have everything there, and it just doesn't get executed. And both parties were guilty, like you said, the ball thrown a little behind him, but it was certainly a catchable ball. Carl just couldn't get it in.
Out of the short gun, handoff up the middle. Morin sidesteps a man at the line of scrimmage, rolls right to the 40-yard line where he stopped for a gain of 6, and that'll bring up third and 12 for the Silver Shrieks from the Quincy 40-yard line.
Well, we may yet get stalled tonight, but from what I'm seeing right now, this is the weakest defense we've seen in the conference outside of UT. Certainly tougher to run against Moline and Alleman and Rock Island than it has been so far against this Quincy. It looks like a very porous run defense.
But third and 12. Shrieks will have to come up with something special. They've had some big runs tonight. Myler alone has 3 carries for 20 yards and more. On the delayed handoff to Morin,
nice,
up the middle. He's got room to run. Spins off another man. Dives forward to the 20-yard line where he's finally stopped. And after where the initial contact was made outside the 25-yard line, Morin did a heck of a balancing job to stay on his feet and dive forward to pick up 5 more after the hit that could have had him stopped there.
Can't run the draw play much better than that. And once he got that ball, such quick acceleration. Both of our backs, we've talked about it with Myler. Morin has it too. They get going in a hurry, and he breaks through the middle of that defense and gets big yardage. First and 10 streaks, and we've got a player down on the field.
2:28 to go, first quarter, tied at 7. Tell you what else is happening around the area in high school football tonight. We mentioned in the Western Big 6, and we'll continue to keep an eye on the Alleman Rock Island game and the Moline United Township game because of the implications on who potentially could win the Western Big 6. And here's a little more reasonable score. 3 minutes ago, Alleman actually trailing Rock Island just 7-0 in the second quarter. So the information I saw earlier was nowhere near accurate.
Well, I wondered how they could score 3 touchdowns when the game kicked off at 7:30 that fast. So, good.
Well, and then we saw how quickly we had 2 touchdowns in this game. Moline with a 7-0 lead over United Township at the end of the first quarter there. Elsewhere, we talked about the Stark County United game. That's a big game in the Lincoln Trail, although despite their proximity and records, the Rebels at 7-0 and United 6-1, I would still think the Rebels would have been pretty solid favorites in that game, and they were up to an early 28-0 lead the last we saw. West Central, really no surprise, a winless team taking on Mercer County. There's still 6 minutes left to go in the half, and Mercer County's already up 55-0.
Oh, my. And Mercer County really isn't all that strong this year.
This is not one of their stronger years for sure. Dunlap with a 7-0 lead over Limestone. And what a season the Eagles are turning out to have, and the Streaks are happy to have them on the schedule.
Oh, yeah.
But the playoff points are getting out of the Eagles, especially after that win over Metamora last year. As I understand it, last week, rather, first time Dunlap has ever defeated Metamora in the Middle Illini Conference.
Yeah. We're really pleased. I mean, not to lose to Dunlap, but that was such a good opening game, a good test for us. And many thought Dunlap would only win a game or two this year. And if we get a 5th win and don't go in as the conference representative, Dunlap will be largely responsible for us getting in because of the number of wins they put up that will give us those victories we might need to go in at large.
Defensive tackle Jonte Owens comes out of the game. He was the player down for Quincy, and he comes out holding his midsection. He got to the sideline, and he immediately rolled down on his back. Now they're taking him to the bench. Handoff up the middle to Nick Myler. Back to action. Dives inside the 10-yard line to the 5. Myler just covered up that ball with two hands. Took it right up the middle for a gain of 15. And the Streaks back in business with a first and goal at the Quincy 5.
Yeah, he ran like a fullback that time. Had both arms wrapped up on the ball, shoulders low. And he's been punishing the Quincy tacklers a few times. It takes a couple of them to haul him down because he just runs so doggone hard.
Over 100 yards on the night already for Myler. He's carried the ball just 6 times. Two tight end set for the Silver Streaks, 2 wideouts to the right. Handoff up the middle to Myler again, and he's easily in for the touchdown. Silver Streaks regain the lead, 13-7, a minute 50 to go, first quarter.
Well, from what we've seen in this first quarter, this is a lot better opportunity to win this ball game than I thought coming down here. I thought Quincy would have a little more to offer on defense. I knew we'd score some, but right now we are just owning them up front, and hopefully this trend will continue all night because Quincy's going to have to score a lot of points to beat us if we keep running the ball like this.
Stark County up 35-0 now on United. Extra point coming for Joe Anderson, the senior place kicker, trying to give the Silver Streaks that 7-point lead here with just under 2 minutes to go first half. Hawkins gets the hold down, and Quincy blocks it. That hasn't happened very much against the Silver Streak special teams this season. Their lead is 6, 13-7, a minute 50 to go, first quarter. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Selecting a football coach is a lot like considering your insurance agent. A great coach puts together the best team possible to win the game. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Savea Mutual Insurance in Galesburg. Consider me your coach when selecting the right insurance plan and deductibles for your home, so if your home gets tackled, you're able to finish the game. And our money-saving out-of-home discount is a perfect defense. So stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street for Savea Mutual Insurance.
Whether it's with eeny, meeny, miny, moe, or a vast knowledge of football stats, pick your teams now for a chance to win with this week's Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
5-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. Remember, they got that short field after the defense pushed Quincy back to the Blue Devil 10-yard line. Then they had to punt out of their own end zone. It was a short punt, so the Silver Streaks had to take in only 38 yards. Then they got that holding call that moved them back to the 46, faced 3rd and 12, and the big conversion on the run by Morin. And then the Silver Streaks now go for a little squib kick, trying to pull something tricky, and it was not well executed, and it was an easy job for Quincy just to haul it into the 45. It went right to Tyree Williams and just pretty much right into the midsection of the numbers. It was an easy catch, so their little onside kick attempt did not work.
Yeah, you've got to make a decision what you're doing there. Are you just going to punch it over the top line? We understand why you don't want to kick it deep to Gay and have another 80-yard return, but If you're going to do an onside kick, be all in on it. I didn't feel like whether the kick or the coverage was all in at all on that. You got to choose what you're going to do there.
First man through right up the middle, and the pile just continues to move across the 50, across the 47, down to the 46-yard line. Quincy just got the offensive line push, and it was a surge forward for a gain of 9.
Well,
so starting near midfield, just like that, they're into Galesburg territory.
Hopefully we won't be revisiting that missed extra point as being important later in the game.
13-7 Streaks, minute 20 to go here in this opening quarter. Silver Streaks have scored on 2 of their 3 offensive possessions. Handoff to the first man through, and lots of misdirection by Quincy. Devin Smith gets the handoff, diving to the right. He needed only a yard. He takes it 5 down to the Galesburg 41. Quincy executing that wing tee very well under Coach Rick Little, who is now one of the more tenured coaches in this conference.
Yeah.
Along with Coach Tim Doherty in his 5th season for the Silver Streaks from the Galesburg 41. Smith sends his team into motion. Handoff goes up the middle. Devin Smith again. Simple dive play. And not much there as he gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that's it.
Yeah, it looked like Matt Ricketts, Larry Pettis up there up front, not allowing much to happen for the Silver Streaks that play. Galesburg defense, again, trying to kind of get its swagger back, so to speak, after giving up all those points last week to Rock Island.
Caleb Smith, the quarterback, a junior, just a little guy at 5'10", 165 pounds. Hands off to the second man, Carson Gay, going left, trying to get to the outside, and the Streaks with tremendous pursuit. Stop him with a hit by Tyree Mitchell. back behind the line of scrimmage, and a flag came down as well.
I'm hoping we don't have a face mask there. One of the tackle was a little high. Maybe we've got a hold out there. That's our hope.
It is a face mask, as you indicated, Jim. So the play results in a loss of a yard. And let's see what... Is it just the incidental face mask?
I would think.
I would think so, too. Yep, there's just 5 yard walk-off. So it takes it down to the Galesburg 37-yard line. So the loss of one plus five on the face mask, it'll be first and six. Second penalty on the streaks. This moves it down to the Galesburg 37-yard line. This will be the last play of the first quarter as we're down to 5 seconds. And Caleb Smith quickly sets everybody in motion. Quick handoff. Hesitation on the left side. Carson Gay waiting for a hole to open up. And then finally, he gets hit with the ball knocked out of bounds on the fumble to the 34. And that's how the first quarter ends. It'll be Quincy Ball from the Galesburg 34 and third and three when we come back. Streaks lead 13-7 after one. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you from... high atop in the press box at Flynn Stadium. Silver Streaks outscore Quincy in the first quarter, 13-7. Quincy with a kickoff return after Galesburg took the opening drive downfield 80 yards in five plays, but Quincy responded quickly with a kickoff return. And then Galesburg got a touchdown on its last offensive possession. Now Quincy with a third and three from the Galesburg 34 as we start quarter number two. And Galesburg calls timeout. Everybody gets out there, gets lined up, and then Tim Doherty says, all right, let's talk this over.
And Quincy came out in a wild formation that I'm not sure we were comfortable in defensing, and that forced our hand to call the timeout there.
And we want to try to keep you abreast of other scores going on around the area. Of course, the Prairie Land Conferences, the Black and the Blue, are out of their divisional play now. Rushville Industry won the Black Division with a 4-1 record in Elmwood Brimfield. Went 5-0 through the Blue Division. Abingdon Avon has the honor of playing Elmwood Brimfield tonight. And Knoxville, which went 4-1 in the Prairie Land Blue, but lost its first two games to teams in the Black Division, travels to South Fulton tonight. We talk about this game with playoff implications. Both Quincy and Galesburg seeking their fifth win. That's the case with the Blue Bullets tonight at South Fulton, with both of those teams at 4-3.
Yeah, and it seems like a good time for Knoxville to be catching South Fulton. South Fulton was playing at a pretty high level at times earlier in the season, but not so much lately after North Fulton beat them a couple of weeks ago. And then they dropped their game last week as well decisively, so good chance for Knoxville to get that fifth win and become playoff eligible.
And the Blue Bullets have had a good first half. 22-0 is their lead at halftime. And Quincy does get the first down up the middle to the 29-yard line for a gain of five. And we are just underway in the second quarter. And a Blue Devil first down inside the Galesburg 30. Hand off to the second man through. They give it to Carson Gay with some lead blocks in front of him, and he's gone. A burst of speed down the far side of the field. Somebody's helmet comes rolling downfield for Quincy. But that's a simple celebration, and Quincy's tied the game, and with the extra point coming, could take the lead.
Yeah, if he gets a step on us as fast even as some of our players are in the secondary, he's a little bit faster. He's gone.
So a quick start for the Blue Devils to the second half. A little face mask penalty helped add two on what turned out to be the Streaks' only defensive stop on that seven-play scoring drive. And again, keep in mind, Quincy had the short field because of the Galesburg, miscommunicated, or now a flag comes down from the back judge. whether it was just poorly executed or indecisive or whatever it was, the short onside kick gave Quincy the ball at their own 45-yard line near midfield, and they took advantage of that. A false start on the offensive line will move this back 5 yards for the extra point. So 7 plays, 55 yards is all Quincy had to take it. And they did it in just a little over 2 minutes. The kicker is Nathan Cuny. The holder is Ben Schroeder. And the snap, a little bit behind Schroeder. He gets it down, squares it, and the kick does get inside the left upright. It was an angled kick, but Quincy's taking the lead. 14-13, 11:32 to go first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you by Two Painted Ladies, offering upcycled furniture and unique handcrafted gifts. By Animal Medical Center, providing the finest veterinary care possible. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Opportunities knocking. Do you need a job? Maybe you need a new job. Galesburg Radio can help. While you're searching, don't forget to sign up for job alerts at galesburg.info, keyword jobs. We'll tell you when new jobs are posted. Go to galesburg.info, keyword jobs.
Delivered to your email inbox every morning. The WGIL Morning Brief with local news headlines, sports, and weather. And it's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
7-play scoring drive takes 2 minutes and 18 seconds for the Blue Devils. Carson Gay with a 29-yard touchdown run, and Cuny's extra point makes it 14-13 Blue Devils, just 28 seconds into the second quarter.
Well, you get the feeling that last one at the ball may win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is up and down the field, and I guess this isn't any surprise, but neither team showing much of an ability to stop the other one so far here through a quarter plus.
We thought this one had the ability, the capability of being a high-scoring game. It started off that way. The deep kick taken by Myler at the 1. Returns it to the 20. Still on his feet. Sidesteps to the 25 and dragged down from behind at the 34-yard line. Isaac Fleer chased him down, a senior at 5'10". Our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Quincy tonight. Jim Lee and I traveling in a 2014 Nissan Altima, which we'll tell you about as the night goes on. But the Phila Frontier Food Drive is back at Galesburg Nissan. On-the-spot financing, $500 off MSRP on every new and pre-owned vehicle on the lot with a donation of 10 non-perishable food items at Galesburg Nissan, right next to the Sandberg Mall on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. The snap to Devin Ross. The handoff to Moran to the outside. Breaks free at midfield. Dragged down into Quincy territory at the 48-yard line for a big run back on first down. He'll pick up 17.
Just unbelievable running routes available for our backs right now. I mean, Myler and Moran may get 200 yards plus apiece,
yeah,
if we can keep the ball enough. And we're just blowing Quincy off the line. And again, they don't seem to be getting any help from their secondary.
Myler's already over 100 yards with 2 touchdowns. Moran's up to 81. First down inside Quincy territory. Looks like Moran got tripped up in the backfield. That slowed him down. Then a flag comes down as Moran got a pretty big hit. I think it was Zach Asherman who finished him off. And the referee walks over and says, personal foul.
Ooh.
Against, well, Galesburg looks like they're walking backward. Which way? He didn't point either direction, though.
Yeah.
The Streaks are walking backward.
Yeah, and usually a personal foul on the offense on a running play like that. It must have come toward the end of the play. But those are the drive killers. And, I mean, they've hurt us at times this year. We've had too many penalties, and we've had some big ones like that at crucial times. And that's, I mean, even when your offense is running efficiently, you can't afford to be giving up those 15-yarders. Those are just drive killers.
Very important game tonight in the Lincoln Trail for the Mid-County Cougars, who have a 14-7 lead over Princeville at halftime.
Good for them.
Yeah, Mid-County at 4-3, Princeville at 5-2. And the Cougars trailing the Princes by a game. But again, with that fourth win, Mid-County looking to become playoff eligible with a win tonight, and they have a halftime lead.
You're out there at Mid-County for the first week of the season after they won that one, and they were feeling pretty good. They knew that Stark County was going to be a problem, and certainly they were when they played them, but otherwise they've been very competitive in that Lincoln Trail this year.
So it goes from the 48-yard line back to the Galesburg 32. How did they get a 20-yard penalty out of that?
I wonder how he kept walking back that far.
All right, handoff to Morin, who tries to spin off a tackle at the 40-yard line and dives forward to the 43.
But, you know, first down and 30 doesn't even seem like that much the way we're running the football.
That's true. All right, Morin with a gain of 10 after the penalty. Second down from the Silver Streaks, 42. Morin is already 9 yards away from 100 on the night. We still have 10 minutes to go in the first half. Out of the short gun, Ross with a handoff to Morin. Sidesteps a man trying to bounce to the outside to the 50-yard line into Quincy territory. A block by Caleb Clay gives him a couple more, but he pays for it with a big stick by Alex Bailey right in front of the Quincy sideline at the 47.
Yeah, Morin made the mistake of just stopping dead at his tracks, and Bailey had a head of steam and really squared him up right there. Still a good gain, but the home crowd got a thrill out of that hit by Bailey.
They're going to put it right at the 48-yard line. So a gain of 10 more for DeAndre Morin, so he joins Myler in the century mark on the ground. And the Silver Streaks back to the original line of scrimmage now at 3rd and 10 from the Blue Devil 48-yard line. Ross rolling right, looking into the flat, still with it, now throws it into the sideline, and a catch by Myler just past the first down marker. He got hit out of bounds, and he held on to the ball. And the Silver Streaks are right at the first down marker. It couldn't be any closer to the sticks. The officials should not have to measure this when they can look at it, and it's a first down. Another terrific catch by Nick Myler, showing the great hands with the defender all over him. And the Streaks on first and 30 take it three straight plays of 10 yards each for a first down.
Yeah, just the football IQ to know where the sticks were, to make sure and keep his feet in bounds. And credit Ross, he held that ball for quite a while. I was wanting him to run it, and the last second he flicked it out there and got the first down.
And off to Morin up the middle, and the ball pops free in a scramble for it inside the Quincy 35 at the 32. Blue Devils are celebrating as Morin got it stripped right out of his midsection. Still no indication from the officials as they're looking down, trying to see who's got the hands on the ball and who's got more control over it. And the Blue Devils have it.
Boy, that's the thing. Can't afford coming down here. It's tough enough to win. You can't turn it over. We were playing very well, executing on offense outside of the penalty, but a big turnover right there gives it back to the Devils when it looked like we were about ready to march in and take the lead back.
Second fumble of the night for the Silver Streaks. They recovered their first one. This one goes as a turnover as the Streaks had overcome a couple of big penalties, and now the Blue Devils have it at their 32-yard line with the Silver Streaks trailing by one, 14-13, 8:58 to go in the first half. The Silver Streaks have been the ball hawks on the turnovers this year. They forced a lot of them, but it's going against them here tonight, and trailing by one, they give it back to the Blue Devils, who have been tough to stop tonight. The handoff goes to Devin Smith, trying to bounce to the outside, and they push the mile forward, close to the first down marker. Everybody's still on their feet, and finally the officials blow it dead. They never did stop Smith, and he got right to the first down marker at the 42. Well, that'll bring the crowd into the game a little bit more with a heck of a battle. They're actually going to spot it about a half yard short.
Yeah, if you're an official, that's tough. I mean, you've got so many bodies around the ball to know, okay, where exactly was the stoppage of forward progress. And so they do mark it a little short. You got to think Quincy will be able to knock in that extra half yard and a play here.
Silver Streaks need a turnover of their own now.
You never know. Sometimes this is a play where they figure you're locked up inside. They'll drop back and throw a long one on you.
Play in from the sideline. Devin Smith slips a tackle in the backfield and gets the first down up to the 44-yard line.
Who is that? I think it's Morin. Or had a shot at him in the backfield. Would have been about a 3-yard loss, but he was able to slide off of that.
So it's up to the 44-yard line for a gain of 3. 7 carries, 31 yards for Devin Smith. In this early portion of the game, Quincy approaching midfield with a one-point lead. Handoff up the middle and a flag and a whistle just as the play got underway. And the quarterback, Devin Austin, immediately comes over to the sideline to talk things over with Rick Little. He heard the whistles. He knew what was coming. Flag down on the far side of the field. Guessing a false start here. from that position.
I think maybe the way he acted, so the defense might have heard it too.
Well, the referee came over and looked at Rick Little and never did make the call. Just kind of put his hands out and looks like he was waving Coach Little off. Now here's the call. It was a false start back to the 39.
You know, their five-yarder, not as painful as our 15-yarder was on the last drive, but any little bit helps here. Big key for the Silver Streaks is just not to let Carson Gay get out with any open space. That's been our undoing so far. Two touchdowns for the fleet-footed Quincy Blue Devil.
Devin Austin, the quarterback, brings him under center. Handoff, and then the double handoff goes to Carson Gay, rolling right, then to the left, gets to the outside. He's got some room to run up the far sideline, gets the corner, stays in bounds, or does he? Nope, the whistle is blowing on the far side of the field as he did step foot out at the Galesburg 40-yard line. He still picks up 21. As that double handoff, they have so much misdirection and so much quick play with the hands in the backfield. On that wing tee, out of that wing tee formation, Carson Gay with his second run of 20-plus yards tonight, including the 29-yard touchdown run that put Quincy on top by one here, with 7:20 to go. And if he stepped out of bounds, why is the clock rolling?
That's a good question.
Right, 7:10 to go in the first half, 14-13 Blue Devils. Handoff up the middle and not much there. And the Streaks get a stop on Dominic Anders' first carry of the night, but he still picks up a couple to the Galesburg 38.
Well, I guess if it can happen in the NFL, it can happen here. That Steelers-Chargers game the other night, they later said that they let 20 seconds run off the clock there inexplicably in that ball game, and that was one that went right down to the last second.
Actually, they're going to spot it at just the 39-yard line, so a gain of just a yard. Second and nine for the Blue Devils. Austin brings the team under center. Handoff right. They go to Derek Green for his first carry. Spread out to
there
the right
go.
Side. And the Streaks string him out on the sweep right. And he loses a couple. I'm sorry, he gains a yard.
Kelly, Morin over there. Ricketts even had come out on the tackle that time as the Streaks' white jerseys made it impossible for the Blue Devils to turn the corner on that one.
Okay, so if Smith and Gay are doing such a good job running the ball, why do you suddenly hand off to Anders and Green for the first time? Don't you just keep going to the well until the opponents can prove that you can stop the other guys?
Yeah, you'd think. They've always been a little unconventional down here, Quincy, though. Even before Rick Little, they had several coaches that would throw everything at you.
Well, they're going to go with a three wideout set. Austin looks that direction. He makes the completion to Carson Gay. They're going to try to let him run and free himself up. And it looks like the ball popped free at the end of the play, but he might have been down.
Yep.
And I think is a yard short, maybe a yard and a half short of the first down marker. But I'm guessing they're going to go for it here as they're down at the Galesburg 32. And the Streaks haven't shown a great ability to make many two-yard stops here tonight so far.
Yeah, over the years, we've come out here and seen flea flickers and halfback passes and all sorts of things. I mean, a lot of times, they would back when they were outgunned on the line of scrimmage, they would try and beat you with their speed and their trickery and end up losing by a lot, but they were entertaining to watch. Their program's gotten better and better over the years.
And a flag as Quincy jumps at the line of scrimmage, and this will help the Silver Streaks as it'll go from 4th-and-2 back to 4th-and-7. They were trying to go with a hurry-up and catch the Streaks' defense off guard. Instead, it set their own team out of rhythm. And will this change the strategy here as they'll move it back now to the Galesburg 37-yard line? Doesn't look like it. Devin Austin's running the play in from the sideline. 5 minutes to go, first half, 14-13 Quincy. Blue Devils with a 4th-and-7 at the Galesburg 37.
You know, Quincy runners in the past, we talked about Upmasig, he was tough last year. One of the toughest I can remember was Jermaine Dade when they had, man, he was a man among boys out there.
Two wideouts to each side, quick hitter across the middle, it's incomplete. Tried to go to their tight end, their catching tight end, Zach Ashman. They go with that quick hitter across the middle, and it was thrown a little bit high for him. He turned around to look for it, and the ball was already there and behind him a little bit, so the Streaks hold, forcing the downs and out, and Galesburg takes over at its own 37, 4:44 to go, first half.
Well, even when teams are getting stopped, it's the turnover or a fourth down. The punters might as well just take the rest of the night off because they're not getting much business out here tonight.
And only one punt last week in the game against Rock Island.
Right.
Handoff up the middle. Not much. To the 40-yard line. Gain of three on first down for the Silver Shrieks. As Myler comes up off the bottom of the pile.
Boy, that was a big stop by the Silver Streaks to answer that turnover and not give up another score and get farther behind before half. That was nice stand by the Silver Streaks. Keep Quincy from getting the upper hand by too much here.
Again, I'm not sure why you go to those two guys who hadn't carried the ball. And now here's a Quincy defensive stop as the Streaks go to Morin up the middle, who gets nothing, stopped at the 40 for no gain. And very quickly, the Streaks face third and seven, under 4 minutes to go, first half, trailing by one.
Well, that was because I sent the punter off for Coco there, and now he's going to have to get used if we don't come up with 6 yards here pretty quick with 3:50 and counting to go in the second quarter.
That's the first stop for no yardage by the Quincy defense. Morin was stopped for a loss of two earlier in the game. Everything else has been positive yardage. So on third and eight for the Silver Streaks. The play, fake handoff on the play action down the middle. High pass deflected. And did Mitchell bring it in? I don't think he did. He did not have control of it. It got deflected. Mitchell had it in the numbers as he was coming down, but he just couldn't control it to grasp it, and it falls incomplete.
Yeah, man in front of him, and once he got him out of the way, he was falling to the ground. I thought he might be able to just nestle that thing in, but was still bobbling it, and then another Quincy player came over and moved him a little bit down low and caused the incompletion.
Tim Doherty stubborn enough not to want to give the ball back up again. He ran a fake earlier. This time they will go with the punt. Hayden gets one away. It's short but high on the far side of the field. Quincy doesn't want any part of it.
Nice bounce.
Bouncing at the 31 and rolling inside down to the 22-yard line with 3:16 to go in the first half. Quincy takes over leading by one. First three and out of the night for either team. Silver Streaks on their last possession turned it over on a fumble. So the last two offensive possessions have not been good for the Silver Streaks, and they got to turn it over to the defense, try to get a stop here. 3 minutes and counting in the first half.
This will be our coolest night of the fall with many freeze and frost advisories out, maybe a few degrees warmer in Quincy than it will be up in Galesburg, but still the feel much better than it was a few weeks ago up in the Rock Island when that wind was blowing in the Alleman game. Even though it's a little cooler here, much more comfortable than that breeze was.
Hand off up the middle, good run on first down by the Blue Devils, crossing the 30-yard line, close to the first down marker at the 32. Man, they've got some quick kids and hard runners, too. First down. They don't even measure.
Well, for both of these programs over the years, and again, they've both made great strides, but part of the reason that Galesburg and Quincy were perennial bottom dwellers in the conference, they both had a tendency to turn the ball over way too much. I mean, we'd see these teams both 4 or 5 turnovers in a night many times. But for the most part, they have eliminated a lot of those.
And a big stop by the Silver Streaks defense as Jason Kelly was right there in the backfield right as the handoff was being made from Austin to Devin Smith, and it goes as a loss of 5. And Jim, from the Alleman Rock Island game, what a surprise. Pioneers lead 14-6 at the half.
Wow.
Isn't so that let, something? Let the zaniness and the chaos continue in the Western Big Six.
So, again, job at hand, you want to beat Quincy, but even if we don't, if that held up, from what we understand, we would probably win the conference.
Second and 14, handoff to the right, trying to get to the outside to the 35-yard line. Caleb Clay makes the stop, as again they go to Derek Green.
And, you know, what a tribute to Alleman's program. I mean, they came down here and got lambasted, giving up 61 points. And then they go up, and we beat them 21-0. And at that point, you'd think they're just going to throw in the towel. They got nothing, right?
And all they've done is turn their season around.
Yeah, that is really something.
All right, third down for the Blue Devils.
Win or not against Rock Island, that Alleman has shown a lot of character just in the way they have performed here the last 3 weeks.
Moline leads United Township 28-0 at halftime. So an incidental 5-yard face mask penalty against the Silver Streaks moves the ball up to the 40-yard line. So instead of third and seven, it's going to be third and two. So second of those tonight against the Silver Streaks, the incidental face mask. Big third down stop coming for the Silver Streaks if they can do it. And flag and whistles as the play gets underway, and this one will be against Quincy, and they'll go back 5 yards now.
And that's a bad penalty for the Blue Devils
uh-huh.
to take that one with the time winding down at 2:05 to go.
Wait. Well, they didn't mark off any penalty. So they're going to put it down right at the 40.
I don't get that.
So a minute 55 to go and counting on 3rd and 2 from the 40. Quincy lines up in the wishbone. Austin up the middle, and there's a first down up close to the 44-yard line. They went to Devin Smith. When they need short yardage, they can go to Smith, and the offensive line will give him what he needs. And they get the third down conversion, although the stick on the far side said second down. I don't know why that was, but either way, they got what they needed, whether it was second down or third down. And now a first down for the Blue Devils from just outside the Galesburg 43 on the play action. Austin rolling left, and he's got some room to run. Now he tucks it in, gets the first down, down to the Galesburg 40, and rolled down inside the 35-yard line. So he picks up 22, and he had a lot of room to run.
Really heads up play by the Quincy quarterback. He was trying to decide whether to throw it or keep it. He saw that opportunity, knew he could get to the sideline, did that. Now he makes the long run all the way, well, half the way back anyway to his own sideline, gets the play and hustles it back in. He did not get out of bounds there, though. They had to stop it to move the sticks, but the clock moving at 1:13 and counting as they come up to the line of scrimmage.
First run of the night for Austin. And a little right swing pass to the outside, but it's dropped for an incompletion behind the line of scrimmage. Tried to swing it out to Derek Green. It falls incomplete. Only the third pass attempt of the night for Devin Austin. He has one completion for 5 yards. Stops the clock with a minute 4 to go before halftime, and the streak's trailing by 1.
Yeah, and if you're Galesburg, you certainly, I mean, the whole game you want to keep an eye on Carson Gay, but especially now, he's the guy they want to find a way one way or the other to get it into his hands in some open field mm-hmm. with just over a minute to go here before the half.
Again, coming up at halftime, we'll talk Streaks girls basketball with Coach Evan Massey. Back for his 742nd season as head coach of the Silver Streaks.
They go
right back to Carson Gay to the outside. Two defenders to beat, and the Streaks finally get him down, wrapping him up in the midsection and pulling him down, but he gets all the way down inside the 10-yard line for a pickup of 33.
Yeah, Gay lined up on the right side, went in motion left, got the ball, had a couple of blockers. They kicked out, and he was able to squirt through there, and once he gets that sideline, he just flies. And so they're in business with 54 seconds left. But are we
coming back? Yep, there's a flag down
Woo-hoo.
In the middle of the field back at the 31.
Whoa, what a break there.
Well, they just waved it off.
Well, welcome to Quincy. As our friend Rob Strack used to say, welcome to Quincy.
So the Silver Streaks backs against the wall now. That's Carson Gay's 6th run of the evening. And he's up to 97 yards now with a first and goal for the Blue Devils inside the Galesburg 10. And a timeout on the field with 55 seconds to play in this first half. Well, of course, I jest, of course, with Coach Evan Massey. We have the utmost respect for what he has done with the Silver Streaks girls basketball program.
He's been okay.
We're excited to have him. He retired as a teacher now, and Allen's out of the high school and off to college at Drake, so his singular focus, his singular Silver Streaks focus, is now entirely on girls basketball.
Well, when he's not on I-80 going over to Drake.
That's true. Mid-County now with a 27-14 lead over Princeville. End of the third quarter there as the Cougars try to become playoff eligible. Anawan Weathersfield shutting out Ridgewood 35-0. And I did want to check in on the baseball score. There is one of those going on tonight, too.
That league doesn't count.
Darn designated hitter anyway. Although if there had to be an American League team in the playoffs, I like watching the Royals, and they lead the Blue Jays 3-0 in the top of the 5th.
Yeah, and that was not a real friendly meeting between those teams late in the season because Kansas City knew that Toronto was rising and was going to possibly be where they are right now, so that's going to be an interesting American League series.
All right, first and goal for the Blue Devils. Coming out of the timeout, just under 55 seconds to go in the first half. Quincy leading by 1. Handoff up the middle, and the Streaks with a stop.
Wow.
And pushed backwards all the way back outside the 15-yard line.
Kelly and who else? Mitchell, I think.
Handoff to Devin Smith. They're going to spot him back a half yard. It'll be second and goal. No gain.
Fernando Diaz also in there on the tackle. And quickly, Quincy at the line again with 30 seconds left.
Rolling left, the quarterback Austin. He's in trouble in the naked bootleg, trying to spin off a couple of men. He does. He gets inside the 10 and rolled out of bounds at the 9. Slipped a couple of tackles in the backfield there. And now Quincy calls another timeout. Getting out of bounds, he stops the clock with 24 seconds to go. And no, the official was just trying to get the attention of the folks running the clock to make sure they stopped it. So it's back to the original line of scrimmage, third goal just inside the 10.
Yeah, and they've got plenty of leg on their kicker, so they would be easily in good field goal position here if they want to resort to that. Streaks can only hope they can keep it down to a three-point trip down the field here for Quincy as they're knocking on the door. Third down and goal from the 9.
Austin in the gun, rolling right, looking into the end zone. Pump fakes, now throws it to a man open in the flat, and he throws again behind Carson Gay and Devin Smith.
And we've got a personal foul
down
on the Streaks.
Roughing the passer back at the 20-yard line.
I think Larry Pettis was the guilty party there because the Quincy fans were all cheering. We didn't see it initially, but we thought something bad must have gone on for the Silver Streaks, and that's our second personal foul that's being very costly in this ball game. And now Quincy will get another crack or two at it once they mark off the yardage.
Tim Doherty was 10 yards out on the field trying to get the officials' attention, screaming his displeasure at that call, and they throw, the officiating crew throws two yellow flags as high into the air as I think I've ever seen. And that's a warning against the Galesburg sideline, so the personal foul is an automatic first down. So instead of third and goal, actually it would be fourth and goal upcoming after the incomplete pass, the personal foul on the roughing the passer, with Austin rolling all the way back at the 20-yard line when he got rid of that, is going to give Quincy a new set of downs, a new first and goal from the 5 with 19 and a half seconds to go. Just when it looked like the Streaks defense was holding, Silver Streaks trailing by 1 are going to have to come up big again here now. Their 5th penalty of the night for 40 yards.
Now, they're going to mark off more on the penalty against the Galesburg sideline now.
So it's down to the 3. So a total of only 7 yards, but given the short field and a new set of downs, a new first and goal from the 3, very costly penalties for the Silver Streaks. So the defense has to come up big here. Austin under center. Handoff left. Smith getting down low, bounces off a tackle, and sidesteps backward into the end zone. Well, even though the Silver Streaks had a short field to defend, if they get a stop, maybe 2, they could keep Quincy out of the end zone given how much time is left. But they run just 1 play on the new set of downs. And with 15 seconds left, Quincy takes a 7-point lead with an extra point pending. 3-yard touchdown run by Devin Smith. And the extra point coming. CUNY with a kick, a rocket is good, and it's 21-13, Quincy by 8, 15.6 seconds to go here in the first half.
Well, I guess the good news is that we're still only 1 touchdown and a 2-point conversion away from tying the game. It doesn't seem like that the way things have gone here in the second quarter that we really even are this close. But the bottom line is, outside of 1 possession, we've still moved the ball very effectively against this Blue Devil team. No reason to think that we can't have a big second half, but we've got to eliminate the mistakes. We had 1 fumble that really cost us, and then a couple of these personal fouls, and we just, you know, you're playing a team that's just about your equal, and that can very well be your undoing, is making those mistakes out here on the road at Quincy, and that has hurt the Silver Streaks so far.
21-13 Quincy. Again, remember, they had it at their own 22-yard line after a good punt by Hayden. Streaks went 3 and out with 4:46 to go in the first half. Otherwise, they put together a lengthy drive. They don't leave Quincy much time to do anything. But instead, they could not convert a first down, gave the ball back to Quincy with just over 3 minutes to go. To the Blue Devils' credit, they took it 78 yards in 10 plays and took almost all of that time off the clock, leaving the Silver Streaks with only 15.6 seconds to go here. And the place kicker, Avery Wilson, has shown a leg. Sent the Silver Streaks back to the goal line once. They had to start a run back from the one. This time he goes a line drive down the far side of the field. Bouncing at the 23, taking a roll down to the 10 where Morin scoops it up. Trying to get away from a tackle, and he won't do it. Wrapped up and thrown down by Jonte Owens, who went out of the game earlier with a shot to the midsection and was in a lot of pain when he went to the sideline. It didn't look like he was in any kind of pain there as he wraps up Morin for a run back of just, well, really nothing, because once DeAndre picked it up, he started running side to side. And the Silver Streaks have it at the 10 with 9.7 seconds to go, and most likely to just take a knee here.
I would guess. Can't afford a mistake. In this situation, we will pack it in tight.
And we've seen the Silver Streaks make a mistake down here on this field in this situation. And it cost him in a game down here at Quincy, and they'll go to the locker room down 8, 21-13. Again, coming up at halftime, we'll talk with Streaks girls basketball coach Evan Massey. When we come back here at Flynn Stadium, we'll run through the first half statistics, get you some high school scoring updates from around football around the area, and we'll talk with the Streaks coaching staff as they come back out on the locker room to get warmed up. 21-13 Quincy at the half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL brought to you by attorney Tricia Blake at Blake Law Office in downtown Galesburg. Caring Hands Animal Clinic. Caring Hands, Caring Hearts next to Bart Optical on Henderson Street. And by Templeton Roofing, best in roofs. Galesburg's commercial and residential roofing contractor since 1930.
Let's just say she's luring in almost 100,000 online admirers who are falling for her hook, line, and sinker because she is a fisherwoman. That's right. And she says, people are shocked when they see me stand in my bikini holding a 6-foot tuna. But online, let me tell you, she has her fans angling for a view. Get it? Yes.
Kim Komando, Sunday mornings 9 till noon on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, clear skies with a freeze warning in effect due to widespread frost overnight tonight, a low of 28. Sunshine with a high of 53 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, clear with areas of frost as well, a low of 34. Sunday, sunshine with a high of 58. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low down around 42. Monday, sunshine with a high of 71, and Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 52. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 46 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football on WGIL, and time to turn our attention to something that's going to be coming up very soon here in a few weeks. Silver Streaks girls basketball, as Evan Massey joins us, as he does toward the end of every football season, to talk about what's going on with his team. And Evan, thanks for joining us here at halftime, and it won't be too long before official practices get started, right?
No, it's right around the corner. For us, it'll be 2 weeks from Monday.
You have a team again that's coming back with high hopes. Sometimes you think, boy, when this girl leaves or this girl leaves over the year, the cupboard's going to be a little bare, but it just seems like you always find somebody to step in there, and a team, not just some person, but to do a good job.
Well, we do have a nice group coming back where we had a nice run last year, and then we've got three of the starters coming back of Lexi Daniels, Shaylee Florine, and Raina Gully. And then a senior, Kaylin Boydston, that played a lot. And then a really a nice sophomore team that's filling in. And so, high expectations, but a lot of work to be done before, you fulfill those things.
Some of the talk in the off season, of course, when Raina's dad went to coach at Springfield, was, will Raina be back? Well, obviously she is, and that's good news for Galesburg.
Yes, it is. It's nice that she's able to stay here for her junior and senior year. And, we're excited to have her. She's somebody with a very good work ethic. So she has an ability to help influence a team, not just by, what she does in terms of baskets and assists, but also those things in practice as far as setting a tone also. And we're fortunate we've got a lot of players that are like that.
You mentioned earlier on about your underclassmen being strong. And I was talking with Adam Sampson, whose daughter, of course, is an underclassman. And
He said that he feels like his daughter has been able to mature a lot as she's tried to guard Raina and worked with Raina in what she's doing. And that's what fosters a good program, isn't it?
Well, you hope that it does. You look like right now, one of the teams that we're chasing, Morton, they're going through a run, like we did in the late 1990s, where they've got that kid that steps in the next year, a younger kid who does benefit from playing against the older kids. On the varsity level this fall, most of our kids are involved in volleyball, but we've got a handful that aren't. And so somebody like that has an opportunity in open gyms to play against some of the older kids.
How do you feel about that as a coach in this age of specialization of going from one sport right into the other? Is that okay with you, or if in a perfect world, would you rather just have them concentrate on basketball all the time?
I think the kids, they've got to do, what they have a passion for in what they're doing. And I think as a coach, that's all you ask for is that, that you have communication and that there's certain things that they are going to commit to do as far as basketball and things. But, I grew up, my father was an athletic director and was a basketball coach, and it was kind of the expectation for me and for my brother was that you're always out for a sport. And we weren't fortunate enough then to have football playoffs or anything, but you finished football on a Friday and Monday you started basketball, and that's, we didn't know any better, and that's what we did. And I think, for some kids at a school the size of Galesburg High School that are good athletes, they can be successful and be a starter in multiple sports. And, for example, my son wasn't fortunate enough that he was a starter or something like that, but he was able to do multiple sports and have a positive experience, and it's something that he can draw on.
Mm-hmm. How's he getting along, by the way? Just as an aside, still playing tennis, I assume?
He dipped into that last year. I think he's at Drake University. They've got tennis intramurals coming up now, but he's latched on. He's a manager of the basketball team, and so he's excited about that, and their season will be getting started. Their practice season's already started, and it's a new experience for him, and he enjoys it, and he was bragging about all of the cloth items that he'd gotten and stuff. So we're excited that he's gotten to be part of something that the coaches have been very impressive.
Yeah, yeah. It's been nice for you this first year of your retirement to be able to maybe keep up that relationship a little more than you might have otherwise, huh?
Yeah, retirement's been a positive, and, it's tough, for my wife and I, only one child, and now he's gone. That part's a little bit tough to handle, but you're excited for what goes on for him. But retirement's enjoyable, but I enjoyed teaching too, so it's not like I was getting out of something I didn't like. And after teaching 41 years, it's nice to be able to continue coaching because I like teaching, and coaching's just a form of teaching. So it's exciting to have the opportunity to continue teaching in that way.
Good, good. Now let's talk a little more about this team coming back. We had mentioned Raina at the point guard and Shaylee inside. I know there were a number of years where you would have loved to have had a big player inside to be able to do some things like she's been able to give you here.
Certainly. And, I think Shaylee is somebody who's very coachable, and she's developed grown every year as far as her game and what she's doing. And at the end of last year, really became a dominant player offensively, and that helped us make the run in the tournament. It's exciting that she was able to, is going to sign with McKendree and be able to get some money for her college education playing, and a positive that way.
And you mentioned Lexi coming back, and I guess she's kind of got the sharpshooter role. She's going to be the one that other teams are going to be looking at that's going to be dangerous from three-point land.
Yeah, Lexi is an outstanding shooter and deceptive in that she gets a lot of other things done for us, pretty good rebounder for us for her size. And then, as I said, we'll have an influx of players off the sophomore team that we think will make us a little bit more explosive, maybe offensively. We're bringing in some kids that are pretty quick. Kylie and Kayla Townsville are both very quick and athletic, and so give us the ability to hopefully do some good things defensively also.
And you mentioned Caitlin Boydston. When you've got somebody that's she's filled in roles, been in and out, but never probably been asked to score a whole lot. Do you try and work her more into a scoring role, or have her keep doing what she's comfortable with?
Well, with all of the players, you want them to be able to score. And with her, I think she takes great pride in her defense, and so sometimes isn't as concerned offensively with things. But I think watching her in open gyms, I think she's become much more confident with her shot, and hopefully that translates that she'll be a little bit more of a scorer for us.
And for you and other coaches, I always hear during the off season about who's playing a little bit in summer league and who's expected to be worked into rotations. Is that something that coaches generally set during the off season, or once the season starts, is there always that opportunity for some girl, even if she's a freshman or sophomore, to really step in and play a big role with the team?
Well, yeah, I think there's always some surprises. You hope the summers are really like a long tryout opportunity for players. This past summer for us, we had at different times a couple players that were gone with injuries or illnesses and things, and so it gives an opportunity to different players to play, and that's a positive. You get to see different people play, but sometimes people surprise you. You know, an example would be Caitlin Boydston going into her sophomore year. She didn't play with the varsity, but just a very little bit in the summer, and never anticipated her being part of the varsity team. And all of a sudden, the combination of some things she did at the end of the summer, but for sure things she did in the first 2 weeks of practices, all of a sudden said, well, you know, we need to put her with the varsity there. So hopefully, you know, as a coach, your eyes are open so you can spot, you know, some things that have changed.
This year's schedule, very similar in terms of tournaments that you'll be playing in. Anybody in particular you're looking at? You've mentioned Morton, obviously. They're always tough. Other teams to beat this year, Evan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for us, it would be nice to get back in the hunt as far as the Western Big Six. We've been close a couple times with it, but Rock Island has this freshman who's been offered by like every top 20 team in America.
A so freshman. Good,
yeah,
huh.
With it. And so they'll be good. Moline, I think, will be really good. And then for us, as you begin to think about, what happens in the postseason, the IHSA, a new format in basketball that like they're using in volleyball, and I think soccer also, of kind of a going close to back to the sectional complex. But for us, the likely Canton actually in our area will be one of the top teams. Morton will be the one everybody's shooting for. Peoria Central will be very good.
Mm-hmm. Any particular goals for this year's team, or is it always the same, just put up as many W's and become as good a team as you can be?
Yeah, I tend to try to get the girls to focus more on performance goals of how we practice, how we approach each other, how we approach the games. And if you take care of those things, I think the outcomes will take care of themselves.
Same assistant coaches as you've had, Evan?
We're very fortunate that we have a strong staff that with Jay Barshinger on the freshman, he's been an assistant for close to 15 years, and Mike Rux for over 20 years has done the sophomores. Andy Allison, an assistant with me, and I think this maybe is her fourth or fifth year, and then we're adding a volunteer assistant. Jessica Howard is going to help us out on the varsity level.
Great.
So we're bringing a little bit of youth to counteract my influence.
Well, that's always good, because I know the volleyball program has really benefited from Coach Ricketts coming back.
Yeah, it's nice to see young females get involved in coaching.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are just about out of time here at halftime. We'll give you a little break, because once basketball season comes, all of a sudden you're doing four interviews a night on game night. So that's a big job for 3 months, I know.
Yeah, but it's nice that you guys and the community, that there's an interest in a sport that when I first started out in girls basketball, it was before the computers, you're handwriting the results and bringing him down to WGIL and the Register Mail to get them in there and things. That it's the coverage is appreciated for sure.
All right. It's always fun, and we'll have Tom and Eric back on the job covering Silver Streaks girls basketball here. And when's your first game again?
It's November 17th. Tuesday night, we open up with East Peoria in our Thanksgiving tournament.
All right. Very good. Thanks for your time, Evan. Best wishes. We'll see you as the season comes along.
Okay. Thank you.
Evan Massey, head coach of the Galesburg Silver Streaks girls basketball team, our guest here at halftime at Quincy. We'll be back with the second half of the Silver Streaks and Blue Devils after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Stay connected to what's happening in Galesburg. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
Through November 1st, a downtown coffee shop is offering Galesburg a chance to explore the area's immigrant community. The Air We Breathe is a collection of photographs featuring immigrants from around the world who live in the Galesburg area. Project creator and photographer Chelsea Castillo-Masick says the photo gallery is designed to tell the stories of local immigrants and their connections to the community. More information and video interviews can be found on the Air We Breathe Facebook page. State officials say the Illinois jobless rate in September was 5.4%. That's down from 5.6% in August, but still higher than the national mark of 5.1%. An official calls the state's job growth dismal. Illinois lost about 7,000 jobs last month. Manufacturers cut about 2,000. The new president of Bradley University is a 1970 graduate of the Peoria School. Gary Roberts is currently a law professor in Indiana. He takes over in January. I'm Antoine R. Martin. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's news.
Fox News Radio, I'm Joe Chiro. President Obama meeting with his South Korean counterpart today. The two discussed ways of boosting economic and security ties.
South Korea remains a partner in development in Afghanistan, a member of the coalition against ISIL, a generous donor of humanitarian aid to Syrian refugees. And now we're going even further, expanding our cooperation to some new frontiers.
Presidents Obama and Park also discussed North Korea's nuclear ambitions. Torrential rain sending mud onto some California highways.
People had to be rescued around northern L.A. County from their cars. Big rigs and vehicles were stranded on Interstate 5 after it was covered in mud. Highway 58, though, is closed. Some big rigs and cars nearly fully submerged in mud. And there was a backup for miles.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal. All northbound and two southbound lanes of I-5 reopened. Fox News, we report, you decide.
One call does it all, and that call is to us, Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Hi, I'm Neil Thomas. You already call us when your drains clog, your air conditioning quits, or your furnace goes out, but how about a bathroom remodel? With just one call to us, we take care of the entire project so you don't have to work with four or five contractors. Leave the worries of coordinating all the different trades required to complete your project to us. It's that simple, so give us a call today for a free estimate at Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines, artistic designs, quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors, crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Exciting news from Dave's Auto Body. We are now F-150 aluminum truck specialists. We're one of the small percentage of shops in the state of Illinois who are equipped to handle this brand new truck. It's exciting for us. It's a great truck. Come to Dave's Auto Body if you need to have it repaired.
I love mornings, and I love breakfast. Good morning, Kevin. So the idea that mornings had to end at 10:30 a.m. just didn't sit right with me. But now I can love mornings all day because McDonald's is serving breakfast all day. Morning, Don.
Jen, it's 2 in the afternoon. You going to be like this all day?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Tuesday, October 20th is PJ Day at McDonald's. Celebrate all-day breakfast in your pajamas with an Egg McMuffin or Sausage McMuffin with Egg Sandwich. Just $1 between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. Good morning, afternoon. Shirt and shoes required. Price and participation may vary.
Pick this week's winning teams and you could win a $50 Cherry Street gift certificate with the Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Halftime here at Quincy with the Silver Streaks trailing the Blue Devils 21-13. Our halftime statistics brought to you by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. Silver Streaks with two running backs with over 100 yards rushing each tonight. Nick Myler, 8 carries for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. DeAndre Morin, 12 carries for 107 yards, plus Caleb Clay with 1 carry for 5 yards. Silver Streaks, 21 plays on the ground for 240 yards. Jacob Ross, 3 for 5 passing for 19 yards. All 3 receptions to Nick Myler for 19 yards. So he's got 147 yards just by himself offensively. But unfortunately, it's been the Silver Streaks' mistakes that have allowed Quincy to take this 21-13 lead. Leading rusher on the night for the Blue Devils is Carson Gay, 6 carries for 97 yards and a 29-yard touchdown run. Devin Smith got the last touchdown right before halftime. He's got 11 carries for 33 yards. The quarterback, Austin, has 2 carries for 22. Cameron Gay with 1 carry for a yard. Derek Green's carried it twice for 9 yards. And Dominic Anders has 1 carry for a yard. Devin Austin, the quarterback, is 1 for 3 passing for 5 yards. The only reception to Carson Gay for that 5-yard reception. Talk about the Silver Streaks' mistakes. After Galesburg got the opening or a 5-play scoring drive on their opening possession of the game, Quincy came right back with an 83-yard run back. Sorry, an 87-yard run back by Carson Gay. The kickoff return tied it up at 7. Silver Streaks, after their next touchdown to take the 13-7 lead, had the extra point blocked and then tried what looked kind of like an indecisive onside kick that was basically just a short, low kick that went right into the numbers of one of the upmen for Quincy at the 45-yard line. Tyree Williams went right into his numbers. Quincy had it at the 45, and they took advantage of the short field, finishing it off that 7-play scoring drive with that 29-yard touchdown run by Carson Gay. Then the Silver Streaks trying to hold and keep Quincy out of the end zone late in the first half. Got a couple of big penalties on third down. And now let's go down to the field where Tim Doherty is just finishing up a long discussion with the officials as they came out of the locker room. In fact, he's not done talking yet. Go ahead, Jim.
All right, thanks, Brad. Down on the field, Tim Doherty, this game a little like the Alleman game in the fact you had quite a few opportunities in the first half, but between penalties and one big fumble, we really haven't been able to capitalize on all we've done.
Well, it's a lot like the Alleman game with the officiating. We've had command of the game. We had the fumble. I think that, that hurt our possession right there because I think we're going to punch that in. And, our boys are playing hard, and this is a good football team. And I just disappointed. I don't know how you pick up 2 flags and, a roughing on the passer. I didn't see it. So, I'm tired of our guys are playing hard, and let them play.
Well, it seemed like the offensive line's making a lot of holes. Our running game's going well. So if you just keep what you're doing, maybe this thing will go turn around.
Yeah, I mean, we're playing well up front on both sides of the ball. And their explosive offense, I thought we've done well on defense as well.
Right. Thanks, Coach.
You bet.
As always, our thanks to Coach Tim Doherty. Obviously frustrated Tim Doherty tonight here at halftime with the Silver Streaks trailing by 8. Quincy will have the ball to begin the second half. Our halftime scoreboard brought to you by Courtright Construction in Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Rock Island has scored, but Alleman stopped the 2-point conversion, so the Pioneers continue to hold a 14-12 lead over the Rocks with 4:16 to go in the third quarter. Again, the Silver Streaks needing Alleman to defeat Rock Island for Galesburg to have an improved chance at winning the Western Big Six, but Galesburg needs to take care of business here and win it themselves. Elsewhere, Anawan Weathersfield, an easy win over Ridgewood, 42-6. Rushville Industries shut out Bushnell Prairie City West Prairie, 43-0. Mid-County, playoff eligible now with a big win over Princeville tonight, 34-14. Moline is rolling over United Township, 35-0 at last check there. Stark County won the showdown with United. The Rebels stay undefeated. They are now 8-0 after a 49-7 win over United. And some other scores from around the area, but we've got second half to kick off here, so we'll keep you updated there. Last check, the Royals were leading the Blue Jays 3-0 in the sixth inning. And it looks like that continues to be the case there. Silver Streaks will kick off, a short kick by Anderson on the far side of the field, and it rolls out of bounds. So the defensive kick trying to keep it away from the Quincy deep kick returners, and they're content to just kick it out of bounds and give Quincy the ball at the Blue Devil 35-yard line. Well, Jim, we talked about, were you privy to any of the conversation, that long conversation going on between Coach Doherty and the officials down there?
Yeah, he was asserting that they had picked up a couple of flags that should have been thrown against Quincy. He said there was clearly holding on this play down here and the one over that they scored or got down to the pylon on. So, he was really frustrated with not only what was called on us, but what was not called on them.
And the handoff goes on a big run to Carson Gay from the 35-yard line. Rolling left, he finds a hole, and he takes it into Galesburg territory to the 43-yard line for a gain of 22 on the first play of the second half.
Yeah, he let them have it pretty good. they knew he was an unhappy coach, and he was just explaining why. So not a good start here to the second half as Quincy rips off a big play right off the bat here.
Fourth play of the night for Carson Gay that's gone over 20 yards. He's carried the ball seven times for 119. Out of the wing tee, the second handoff going to the left side. Gay trying to shuffle past another tackle. He does. He's up the near sideline before finally running into a couple of defenders, one from the backside, one from the front. Tyree Mitchell helped finish him off. I think it was Ricketts who got him from behind.
Well, you can see right here close, many of the times his plays have been on the other side of the field from us. He's right down in front of us. You can see how elusive he is, mm-hmm. though. We had a big guy with a shot at him. You figure he'll get away from him, but I'm not sure who it was. One of our D-backs came up and couldn't handle him either. He stopped, just quickly slid backwards, and then went forwards. He's very quick, very fast, and very mobile.
Carson Gay, Nick Myler, each with eight carries on the night, but Gay has 4 yards more rushing, and his team has the 8-point lead here as the handoff goes up the middle to Devin Smith, a gain of four, down to the Galesburg 26-yard line. 21-13 Quincy as we start the second half, and the Blue Devils have taken it very quickly from their own 35 down to the Galesburg 26 in only 45 seconds.
Becomes very much of a problem if we get down two scores here. Not that it's insurmountable. We've seen Quincy's got some defensive issues, but how many times are you going to keep those guys from getting to the end zone, too, the way the confidence they're playing with right now?
Split backfield. Streaks jump on the left side of the defensive line, and they are going to go into the neutral zone. And the 5-yard penalty will make it second and one for the Blue Devils. Yep, there's the encroachment penalty. Seventh penalty of the night against Galesburg for 47 yards. Jim, you were down on the field. Rock Island did score, but Alleman kept him out of the end zone on the 2-point conversion. So the Pioneers still lead 14-12 as that one gets late in the third quarter. Farmington with a 36-34 lead in their game as they continue to play some high-scoring thrillers. As they're taking on Peoria Heights tonight, both of those teams 4-3 trying to become playoff eligible.
Yeah, they got a lot of point scorers in that league, Peoria Heights, and since they joined Quest, they've become a much more formidable team. And every night in that conference is about as big of an adventure as it is in the Western Big Six.
Gain of nine more for the Blue Devils as they now have a first and goal from, or first down from the Galesburg 15-yard line. The wishbone set behind Austin, the quarterback. Hand off to the left. Carson Gay finds a hole and then steps inside a couple of tackles for the touchdown.
That's not what we needed to have happen to start the first half or second half. He was their first scorer in the first half running a kickoff back the distance. And what's that, three touchdowns for him now?
Two.
Just the two.
Carried the ball four of the five plays on that drive, which started back from the 35. Galesburg opened the night on a five-play scoring drive that covered 80 yards. Quincy starts the third quarter with a five-play scoring drive that covers 65 yards. And again, the Silver Streaks had shut out their opponents in the third quarter prior to last week. Rock Island got two touchdowns. Quincy takes only a minute and 34 seconds off the clock to break the goal line again. And they now lead the Silver Streaks 28-13 as we have just started the second half. All right, so Gay with 10 carries for 156 yards, 15.6 average per carry. Take that.
Yeah, it becomes very important for Galesburg now to score on their first possession of the second half.
Rock Island with a field goal now leads Alleman 15-14, a minute and a half left in the third quarter. They have had some second-half magic, haven't they, this year?
I wonder if they would have gotten a turnover to quickly get the ball back and kick a field goal that fast. So
yeah, they did that in about a three-minute time period.
Yeah.
All right, first possession of the second half for the Silver Streaks, barring any kind of unexpected play from the Blue Devils here. Of course, Rock Island got a touchdown and then tried to go with the onside kick to get it right back, and it would have worked had it not been for a penalty. They executed the onside kick very well. Quincy tried to do that here. They could really try to put down the hammer, now leading by 15 as we've just started the third quarter. They appear to be lined up for a traditional deep kick, and it's a line drive, and it carries to the 3, where Morin will return up the middle, and he finds a hole inside the 30, up to the 40-yard line, steps between the defenders to the 50, down to the 40 of the near sideline to the 30, and finally bumped out of bounds, and a big run back by DeAndre Morin. And let's see if that gets the Silver Streaks momentum back up and running. It was Nathan Ruxlow who finally chased him down and pushed him out of bounds. And DeAndre is up late and hobbling.
A little surprised Quincy would kick it deep. I don't know that they got comfortable with that 28-13 lead, but to kick the ball deep to a guy with more in speed, I thought was a little suspect. And they paid the price.
Well, they've been kicking deep all night, and they've just been kicking so deep that the Silver Streaks haven't been able to run it back. This time, I don't know, there's enough of a wind, I think, coming out of the north that it gave Morin the ability to run that back from the 3. And he takes it all the way down to the Quincy 27-yard line. The snap to Ross. Up the middle to Myler. Gets tripped up at the line of scrimmage. Dives forward close to the 21-yard line. They're going to down him at the 22 for a gain of 5. Now we'll keep an eye on DeAndre Morin and see how long it takes to get him back into the game. And hopefully he will be back in. Mitchell and Diaz line up wide to the right. Silver Streaks with two wideouts to the left with Myler lined up, the single set back behind Ross. Takes the handoff again up the middle, runs into his own man, bounces off into the 20, 10, and practically untouched into the end zone from there. And the Streaks do bounce right back, literally on that carry as Myler bounces off his own man, running into the backside. DeAndre Morin got it started with a big kickoff return to the Quincy 27, and they take two plays to make it 28-19.
Great answer by the Silver Streaks. And again, I think the Quincy defensive line is decent, but once you get into that secondary, like I said, you bounce off a guy, and most teams tackle you right there, but they don't have anybody up that really helps out, and so Miner able to get his wheels going again and scored.
And the extra point attempt by Anderson is no good, and the Streaks fail to convert on another extra point attempt. And now they're down two possessions because they were not able to get the point there. They would have trailed by 8, but instead they trail by 9 with 9:41 to go in the third quarter.
That really hurts. A lot of time to go yet, but it puts a lot more pressure on you to have to score twice now just to take the lead. And first things first, the defense has got to make a stop here, and they sure didn't show up on that first possession by Quincy in the second half. We'll see if we can't do a little better the second time around. So I get really this half has opened up just like the first one.
I was
two very quick scores.
Going to make that point. Yep, exactly.
And we'll see if the game settles in here or gets even wilder in this second half tonight.
I mean, really almost an identical replay with a 5-play scoring drive by Quincy to match the 5-play scoring drive by Galesburg that opened the game. The only difference was instead of the 87-yard kickoff return by Quincy for the touchdown, the Silver Streaks got the long return from DeAndre Morin down to the 27 of Quincy, and then the Streaks actually had to run two plays from scrimmage. So now the kick will go down the middle of the field, and the Silver Streaks are going to give Quincy a chance to run it back from the 10-yard line, back up the middle, and then the Silver Streaks shut it down on the inside, stopping the run back at the 30-yard line. Well, they kept it away from Carson Gay, and the run back, I believe, that time by Cameron Woodard. And it's at the 30-yard line, 9:33. So can Galesburg get the defensive stop that they have not been able to produce since early in the first quarter? Out of the split backfield, handoff to the right side and a good spurt forward, gain of 4. For the Blue Devils up to the 34-yard line. It'll be 2nd and 6 as Devin Smith carries it his 13th time of the night for 42 yards. Streaks have done a pretty good job of locking him up. But it's the change of pace between Smith and Carson Gay that's been so difficult for the Streaks to handle here tonight.
Well, either one of these teams with a fifth win becomes playoff eligible. They'd both love to get a sixth win next week and give them a better first-round playoff opponent if it gets to that, but they need to win here tonight.
Carson Gay getting to the outside of the 40-yard line, avoids a tackle from behind, and finally wrapped up by Caleb Clay, but not till he gets to the Galesburg 45-yard line. Slipped a tackle from the behind in Quincy territory close to the 40-yard line and then did a balancing act on the near sideline to stay in bounds and cut up field. And he ends up going for a run of 22.
Yeah, in that case, he went over with such speed at an angle toward the sideline. If you're going over that direction as a player, you think, well, he's going out of bounds. But he's just so quick to stop and then stay in bounds. He catches these guys off guard and picked up some more yardage.
11 carries, 178 yards tonight for Carson Gay. He's had five over 20 yards. Second handoff to the man through, Derek Green running to the outside, and a flag down from the referee back behind the line of scrimmage as Green carries it for a gain of 8 across the Galesburg 40 to the 38-yard line. But there's the hold penalty against Quincy. Haven't been a whole lot against the Blue Devils tonight. The more important, the more impacting penalties have been against the Silver Streaks. That's only the fourth of the night against Quincy for 35 yards. And it'll negate a pretty good run on first down from Derek Green. And the holding penalty will take Quincy back into their own territory behind the 50 at the 44.
We'll know Illini football to preview tomorrow. Illinois has an off week. Get one of those. And so we'll defer to the Bears on Sunday on 92.7 FM, the Laser, Bears and the Lions at 11:30.
And off to the left side, diving forward to the 45 and the 46-yard line as Devin Smith was in trouble in the backfield and made what he could out of that, picking up a yard. And it'll be second and 20.
We're being down here 4 years ago, 2011, when Chris Carpenter was shutting out the Phillies in the decisive game in that National League Series as the Cardinals would go on to win the World Series. That's always a memorable night for me, the way we were following that thing.
Hand off to Gay, trying to get around from the wraparound on the outside, and he gets stopped short of midfield and then thrown backward. Jason Kelly finishes him off. And now it draws some ire from the Quincy sideline. They wanted a little more contact than they would have liked. But right to the 50-yard line is where the nose of the football sits for a gain of 5. Gay up to 183 yards running now, and it brings up 3rd and 15 for the Blue Devils at the 50.
All right, here's our big chance to get that stop. Get the ball back. It may be deep in our own territory by the time that happens, but first things first, get the hold here. We'll see what Quincy comes up with. I can't think they'll just go a straight handoff on 3rd and 15. We'll see what happens.
Out of the short gun, Austin steps up. Fake handoff, now he rolls to the right side, steps back, screen pass back behind him to Carson Gay at the 50, to the Galesburg 40, inside the secondary to the 30, one man to beat, and he steps out of bounds inside the 15-yard line. Works to perfection, and the Quincy Blue Devils pick up 35, and it's a first down for the Blue Devils inside the red zone again.
Well, you got the...
Is that a flag down at the official's foot? What is that?
I don't think so. But there's some talking going on.
It is. It's a hold against Quincy. So at the end of the play, there's a hold? That's a pretty wadded up flag down there at his feet. Hard to even tell that's a penalty flag, and this one is coming all the way back. That is the biggest penalty of the night. Now Rick Little's chewing on the officials. He's marching right upfield with him. He's walked a good 20 yards himself, talking the whole way. So that takes it all the way back between the 49 and the 50-yard line just inside Quincy territory. What a huge penalty.
Well, and you know, the Coach Little probably had that play reserved just for that time, and it worked beautifully.
Yep.
Quarterback rolls a little to the right, and then he swings it back left and had the nice wall set up for Gay, and he makes first down and plenty more, and it all comes back. So Silver Streaks getting the break that Quincy got in the first half. We'll see what happens here.
Split backfield with the wing back to the right side. Now the Silver Streaks coaches are jumping on the sideline. They see something. They're trying to get the defense's attention. Now Austin sets his man in motion, fakes the pitch, dropping in a deep drop. He's going to look sideline pass, high in the air, and batted down, nearly intercepted by Tyree Mitchell, who was in front of the intended receiver downfield, Derek Green, and Mitchell fronted him and did a good job. If he couldn't come up with the interception, he at least knocked it down, and it's fourth down, Quincy.
Yeah, because Green behind him had a little height advantage, but Mitchell got way up in the air that time, timed his leap perfectly. All Green could do was try and prevent the interception there, which he did. And Nick Miter will drop back and stand at about the 20-yard line to receive the punt.
Standing back at his own 36-yard line. Streaks do not put a rush on, and this is a good punt. Backs up Myler, and he has to reach over for it, and he scoops it up running back into the end zone. Now out to the 5-yard line, hit hard a couple of times, falls forward to the 8-yard line, and that was disaster averted for the Silver Streaks. Happy not to give up the ball to begin with. Happy not to give it up in their own end zone, which would have been worse. And they'll start this drive from the 8.
Yeah, that could have been a lot worse. You don't want to start where you are, but better than giving up a cheap touchdown or a safety there.
Just a really good punt, too. High in the air, sent Myler back and running sideways, so by the time he got to the ball, he was still reaching out for it, so a difficult catch to make, and he did not make the catch. 5:54 to go, third quarter. The Silver Streaks defense does hold.
And now we've got a personal foul against Quincy. I wonder, Jacob Carl was sitting down and had his arms outstretched as if to say, I can't believe there was no call there. I didn't see what happened, but this is exactly in that area of the field where he was saying that.
And also, what's the lobbying by Tim Doherty as the officials came out of the locker room at halftime? Is this the resulting benefit of that as the 15-yard penalty gives the ball to the Streaks at their own 23 now? So a big holding penalty negates a huge gain that would have given Quincy the ball at the Galesburg 13-yard line. The play or the drive ultimately stalled out, and now Galesburg, instead of having the ball deep in their own territory, has it at the 23.
Broken
and
play.
Ross looks right to hand off to Myler, who went left, and all Ross can do is eat it for a loss of two.
Well, it so often happens when these teams play, there's some extra talking going on down there. I've seen it in a number of cases, away from the ball, near the ball, guys doing a little pointing, taunting. Hadn't seen a whole lot of that in a few games this year, but that's clearly going on down here right now as this game gets even more intense with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter.
A lot on the line between these two teams. Rock Island leading Alleman 15-14. Quincy needing to win this game and hope for an Alleman victory to get back into the conference title chase. Myler slips a tackle in the backfield and then takes a hit up to the 27-yard line. So he gets some of that lost yardage back. Still no sign of DeAndre Morin, who went down on the run back, came out after getting run out of bounds on the kickoff return, came up hobbling, and we have not seen him since. And with the Galesburg team being on the far sideline, it's hard for us to spot numbers way over there. Might be standing up there around the 45, Jim. I can't tell. All right, 3rd and 7 for the Silver Streaks. After Myler picks up 5, out of the snap, handoff up the middle to Myler, finds a hole, he's got the first down, hangs on to the football to the 41-yard line, and a big third down conversion for the Silver Streaks. Move the chains, and better field position now as they approach midfield on a gain of 15 by Myler.
Yeah, Myler really rumbled up the middle that time, and he's the workhorse. He's one of those guys that say, all right, give it to me every play. That'll be fine, especially with Morin out of there. He carries an even bigger part of this load as Ross quickly gets him up to the line now with the ball at their 41.
12 carries, 175 yards for Nick Myler tonight to go along with all three Silver Streaks touchdowns. They go to Myler again, rolling right, cuts back up the middle of the field to the 43, close to the 44, with forward progress giving him a gain of 3. And the Silver Streaks trailing by 9, under 4 minutes to go, third quarter.
Myler was stopped but not tackled, and Big Max Snell got in there behind him, tried to give him a little push forward with that 305 frame that Snell has, and wasn't able to push the pile very much, though, and a gain of just a couple on the play for Myler.
Royals continue to lead Toronto 3-0 in the sixth. Dunlap, a 15-12 lead over Limestone. Knoxville shuts out South Fulton 43-0. Big win for the Blue Bullets, who are now playoff eligible. Up the middle, Myler. Big hole across the 50. Down to the Quincy 46-yard line as that Galesburg offensive line. Actually, they went to Diaz that time. First carry of the night for Fernando Diaz, and he takes advantage of that Galesburg offensive line's big hole for a gain of 10.
Yeah, a bit of a punishing finish there, too, by Diaz, who lowered his helmet and ran over a would-be tackler, so he's ready to roll.
First carry of the night for Fernando Diaz with Morin out of the game. They go back to him again with a hole up the middle. Wrapped up from behind, hangs on to the football, carries it inside the Quincy 40 to the 39 for a gain of 7 more. It'll bring up 2nd and 3.
Yeah, we'd hoped for an entertaining game down here, expected it, and we are getting it. 3 minutes to go, third quarter. If the Streaks can punch this one in, it really is game on, but we're down 2 scores after 2 missed extra points.
1 blocked, 1 just wide right. 2nd and 3 for the Streaks inside the Quincy 40. Fake handoff, and the ball is batted into the backfield. Silver Streaks will chase it down, but it's an incomplete pass with Ross trying to swing it to the outside. His 3rd incompletion of the night in 6 attempts. He's passed for only 19 yards, and that brings up 3rd and 7.
Yeah, I'll gladly
third and three.
Give up the down there without the disaster that could have been. Could have had a turnover there, and it fell to the ground. So you figure you're 2 down territory, 3 yards to go.
Anawan Weathersfield defeats Ridgewood 42-6. 3rd and 3 for the Streaks. The snap to Ross. The handoff to Diaz, trying to feel his way through a hole up the middle.
I think he got it.
Gets close to the 35-yard line, and that's close to a first down, depending on where the knee came down. The official steps the ball back. It was laying near the 35, and then he marched it back. Now he's going to walk it over to the far hash mark at about the 36-yard line. If it's at the 36, that's enough for the first down. The first down stick on the far side of the field is short of the 36-yard line, but so is the ball. They're not going to give it to him, and the Streaks have a 4th and short.
No question here. Don't have to do anything too fancy. I would guess you'll probably just have Ross on the keeper rather than risk the exchange.
Well, the offensive line has done the job here tonight. They're called upon to do it again here on 4th down. Silver Streaks went for it on 4th down earlier, came up a yard short. They're 6 for 14 on 4th downs this season. They have less than a yard to go here. Silver Streaks send Mitchell and Clay out to the right, Myler and Diaz in the eye behind Ross. They toss to Diaz. He gets to the outside, inside the 40-yard line. Quincy trying to strip the ball out of it. He does a good job to hang on to it. And that's a 1st down to the Quincy 33. Surprised by the play call.
Yeah, gutsy. Gutsy call. I don't think I would do that once in 100 times at any level. I'm a fan of when you just got inches, just have the quarterback fall forward unless somebody's got a behemoth up front on the nose. That's pretty tough to stop. But, hey, we made it work, so we'll keep the march on here.
Diaz getting some of the play calling here with DeAndre Morin on the sidelines. They go to him again, trying to dance past a man behind the line of scrimmage. Works his way forward into the 30-yard line. He'll pick up 3 more. A patient run with Diaz finding not many holes on the inside, but enough to make it a gain of 3. 5th carry of the drive for Fernando Diaz for 26 yards. He carried the ball only 11 times all season through the first 7 games.
You know, last week, DeAndre Morin, I was worried about he was holding his wrist a lot, and I never really did get a follow-up on that, but he started tonight, but I don't think it was his wrist on this. It looked more like a hip or a leg. A
snap to Ross on the play action. He's looking deep down the middle of the field, and it's nearly intercepted and then nearly almost completed for the Silver Streaks in the end zone as they tried to get it to Myler down there, who almost came up with it on the deflection, but it falls incomplete, and it'll be 3rd down.
Well, we caught a break there. That ball was underthrown, and he could have dropped it off to Jacob Carl just out in front of him, heading towards the sidelines. That would have been a guaranteed 10 or 12 yards if Carl catches the ball, because there was nobody near him, but he tried to force that thing into the end zone. Myler was in single coverage, but the man in front of him was quite a bit taller and nearly intercepted it.
Moline shut out United Township 42-0. Ross on the rollout left across the middle of the field and nearly caught by Myler, but it falls incomplete, and a late flag down now, as I think this might be pass interference against Quincy.
They may have arrived early on that. I'd almost have to see a replay, but we don't get those in high school, and I don't think their scoreboard is going to show us one anyway, although they could with that high-tech camera scoreboard they have over there, brand new as we came down here this year.
They've been working on it the past couple of weeks, as we understand, with Quincy being on the road. It's the first time they've had it this season after a big fundraising drive. Now the official finally comes out of the Galesburg huddle, talking it over with the players. This will be against Quincy. There's the pass interference call, and Quincy's now had a couple of big penalties called on them. First, on the kickoff return, a personal foul penalty that added 15 yards. The Galesburg drive started at the 23. Now they are down to the Quincy 15-yard line. Myler Wright spins off a tackle, dives inside close to the 11. And a hard run by Nick Myler that could have been stopped back at or behind the line of scrimmage, but he makes a gain of 4 out of it. Patient drive by the Silver Streaks, aided by some Quincy penalties. And they have now taken it down to the Blue Devil 11-yard line, trailing by 9 with 30 seconds and counting here in the third quarter. Up the middle, Myler again inside the 10, falling forward to the 8, maybe the 7-yard line. And that may be the last play of the third quarter, depending on how quickly the Streaks want to get back to the line of scrimmage. We're down to 10 seconds to go, and they don't seem to be in any hurry, and that's going to bring an end to it. 28-19, Quincy leading by 9, but the Silver Streaks have taken it down to the Quincy 7, where they will start 3rd and 3 when we come back in the fourth quarter. The Blue Devils lead by 9. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Galesburg Nissan's bottom line sales event is going on now. 0% financing for 72 months plus rebates on all 2015 Sentras and the best-selling Nissan Altima. 0% financing is also available on our exciting lineup of SUVs featuring the fuel-efficient Rogue, the luxurious Murano, and the 7-passenger Pathfinder. With over 100 new Nissans in stock and more arriving every day, the selection has never been greater. Bottom line sales event going on now at Galesburg Nissan, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Galesburg's News. Galesburg's Talk. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
12 minutes to go from Flynn Stadium. Silver Streaks with a 3rd and 3 coming up from the Quincy 8-yard line. 2 down territory with Galesburg trailing by 9. This drive started at about the midpoint of the third quarter. So the Silver Streaks have taken up to this point 5 minutes and 54 seconds off the clock on a drive that started back at their own 23-yard line. This is the 15th play of the drive. 3rd and 3 for the Streaks from the Quincy 8. The toss to Myler to the outside of the 5. Steps up, gets the touchdown with a big hole opening up across the right side. Once he got to the corner, he just busted upfield for the final 5 yards. 4th touchdown run of the night for Nick Myler, and the Streaks are within 3.
Well, what a turnaround when it looked like Quincy was going to go in for another score. They had that big penalty after the screen pass to Gay, got them deep into Streaks territory, pushed them back. They were forced to give it up, and the Silver Streaks march it all the way down, 28-25, and now we'll see what we want to do for the extra point. There's no way to get 3 on one, but we may go for 2.
Jacob Ross was standing out there for the longest time. With a 3-point game, the Streaks are within a field goal of tying it. So the 2-point conversion, you know, it's kind of a judgment call.
James Hayden going to kick it.
Looks like he got inside the right upright, and it does. So the Silver Streaks now within 2 at 28-26. So look at it this way. The Streaks are within a safety now of tying the game. We played 4 seconds of the fourth quarter, and the Silver Streaks now trail by 2, 28-26, on Nick Myler's 4th touchdown run of the night.
Well, in both of these teams, as soon as the horn sounded to go to the fourth quarter, we've seen the Silver Streaks do it for years under Tim Doherty. Quincy doing the same thing. They raise their hands, raise their helmets, and yell 4 because they know that's where a game could be won and lost like this. This one absolutely will be by whoever can play better football in this fourth quarter, as the Silver Streaks with probably a game-saving and maybe a stretch to say season-saving drive right there.
but to keep them in this game and get them in a position where they might still win this thing on the road at Quincy, first thing you might want to do is, when you kick this off, kick it away from Mr. Gay. Number two standing out there ready to return.
Rock Island had a fourth and one at its own 45-yard line, elected to punt. And Alleman gets it, trailing by a point at its own 38-yard line with under 2 minutes to go in the game. Now the Pioneers are at the Rock Island 40 with a minute 17 left.
High drama there.
Streaks needing Alleman to defeat Rock Island. The kick taken at the 13-yard line. A patient run back and now a burst forward by Quincy, trying to find a hole up the middle by Jonte Owens. And the Streaks finally finish him off, and a flag comes in as he gets pushed backwards. As we've seen several times in this game, Owens never did go down. The officials finally had to blow the whistle to bring the play to a stop, and let's see what the flag is. They're talking to, well, no, maybe they're not. Thought they were going to go talk it over with Quincy, but back judge was just trying to find the referee in there. So the flag comes as a face mask against the Silver Streaks again. Third time tonight. The first two of the incidental contact, not the personal foul penalty, and this is also a five-yarder.
All right, well, here we go. Everything's still on the line in the Western Big Six Conference with Rocky clinging to that lead against Alleman, and Quincy also clinging to a two-point lead here over the Silver Streaks.
11:47 to go in the ball game. Up the middle and now finding a hole up the right side. The ball pops free into the Galesburg secondary. Picked up by Clay with a run back to the 40. Now stripped from behind and thrown down by the jersey. But a big fumble. First turnover of the night by the Blue Devils. And it goes right into the Galesburg white jerseys. And they take over at their own 39.
Yeah, that ball fumbled forward. And you figured we had to get that three or four different Galesburg players all in the neighborhood, not a blue jersey to be found, and it was Caleb Clay on the back side of the play that ends up picking it up, and the Silver Streaks back in business now. They'll have it at their own 38 after the Quincy fumble.
So Galesburg with a costly fumble earlier in the game. Quincy was able to turn it around into a touchdown. Now the Silver Streaks try to answer, trailing by two with 11:35 to go in the fourth quarter. Single setback, a play fake. Ross down the middle of the field. He overthrows Jacob Carl, who almost brought it in with a one hand as it deflected off his long outstretched arm and falls incomplete.
You know, Streaks trying to hit the home run right there after the turnover and go for the big pass play right out of the gate.
Well defended, though.
Yeah, somebody, was it Clay? Out there on the right side had his arm up as just to say, hey, I'm open. But Ross is pretty well locked on Carl, his primary target there.
Second and 10 from the 38. Hand off right, Myler to the outside. Now cuts back across the middle, across the 50, into Quincy territory, down to the 47 for a first down after a gain of 15.
Another good run by Myler. He might have left a little yardage on the table that time with a cut the other direction. Might have been an opportunity to gain quite a bit more, but we'll take it and move the chains.
Streaks in the hurry up under center. Ross with a handoff to Myler up the middle and stuffed at the 46-yard line. He picks up two. He took a big shot right to the midsection. Myler over 200 yards rushing now. 17 carries, 205 on the ground, and four touchdowns. Second and 8 for the Streaks from the Quincy 46. Under 11 minutes to go in the game with the Streaks down 2. Now Ross drops back in the pistol. The single setback, Myler to his right. And they give to him, and now the ball pops free again, and it looks like Quincy falls on it right away.
They may say he was down.
Doesn't look like it.
They say he was down.
I thought I saw the beanbag come out from the officials. Now they're trying to unsort it. Quincy's got it.
Wow.
So the Silver Streaks fumble it right back. For the second time tonight, they turn it over. And Quincy has terrific field position, 3 yards short of midfield. Big fumble and a big turnover by the Streaks.
Yep, give it right back. Great opportunity. The yardage totals in this game may actually make it look like it was a higher scoring game than it was. There's just been some turnarounds here that have negated drives that haven't really been stopped by the defense. And now Quincy going to come out of that wacky, almost an outhouse type spread formation.
Everybody stacked up to the right side. Quarterback under center. He's going to take it, and he goes up the middle, and there's some running room for Austin, and he takes it into first down territory up to the 41-yard line of the Silver Streaks. So he picks up 15 on first down. Sorry, 13.
Going to use this formation again.
Yep, they're going to run it again. Austin picked up 13. Now he's in the shotgun, now comes up under center. Silver Streaks have two defenders there. They're going to hand off to him. Going to the left, looks like he might have gotten tackled
nice
from behind.
By Myler. Comes over and takes his legs out, but it's really difficult.
I thought Tavian Cervantes got dragged down from behind as he was trying to make the play. I thought he got held.
No flag, though.
Nope, still going to give him four on the gain.
Well, and by pulling five players over here, they suck five of our defenders over as well. It basically becomes a kind of a four or five on five situation. It's a very odd offense, but it's almost guaranteed to get you a few yards. And now we've got a timeout on the field.
9:57 to go, 28-26, Quincy by two. Blue Devils with a second and seven from the Galesburg 37-yard line. Let's take a timeout as well. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streak Football and WGIL brought to you by attorney Tricia Blake at Blake Law Office in downtown Galesburg. Caring Hands Animal Clinic. Caring Hands, Caring Hearts next to Bard Optical on Henderson Street. And by Templeton Roofing. Best in roofs. Galesburg's commercial and residential roofing contractor since 1930.
Opportunities Knocking. If your business is looking to hire, there's no better way to reach thousands of prospective candidates than radio. Learn all about it at galesburg.info, keyword jobs. You'll talk to people at work, home, and play. That's the power of radio.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Injury timeout as Derek Green eventually got up all right. Now second and seven for Quincy, back into a more traditional formation. Quarterback Austin comes up under center. Hands off to the first man through. And Gay to the right side, inside the 30, gets the first down. And to get to the 31, got to the 29.
Well, it sounds like the Western Big Six title is no longer in doubt. Rock Island with a win over Alleman.
15-14.
Wraps it up. Only one league loss for the Rocks. That was to their rivals from Moline. Otherwise, they beat the Streaks last week by six, beat Quincy by two. Had to work harder than anybody thought to beat United Township, and now beats Alleman by one.
So the Silver Streaks at this point now just trying to become playoff eligible. They cannot win the conference. They can share the title. Hand off to the right side. Smith inside the 30 to the 25. Picks up four. Quincy continues to move the ball downfield. After the Galesburg fumble near midfield gave Quincy the ball back at the Blue Devil 46-yard line. It's now down to the Galesburg 25. Under 9 minutes to go in the game. And Quincy leading by two. 28-26 the score. The difference in the game right now, two missed extra points by the Silver Streaks. Austin under center for the Blue Devils. Hands off to the second man, the wingback, trying to get from the left side to the outside. Streaks reaching in there, trying to strip it out of the hands of Derek Green. He hangs on to it inside the 25 to the 23-yard line, and it'll be third and three.
I still find myself looking straight across for the scoreboard sometimes. For years, it was right across from us on the stands on the 50-yard line. Now they've got the new one in the end zone where most everybody else normally has their
Quincy,
scoreboard.
Quincy, only one of five on third downs tonight. They just haven't faced third down very much. This is two-down territory at the Galesburg 24, third and four. Austin, the handoff left side, and a hole for Devin Smith. And that should be enough for the first down as he gets inside the Galesburg 20, close to the 18. Good hole opened up by the left side of the Quincy offensive line. And it's a new set of downs for the Blue Devils inside the Galesburg 20. Devin Smith, 16 carries for 53 hard-earned yards tonight. He does have a touchdown. Carson Gay has done a lot of the damage on the ground against the Streaks for 191 yards and two touchdowns. 28-26 Quincy, which also has a kickoff return for a touchdown tonight. Blue Devils lead by two, 7:30 and counting here in the fourth quarter. Austin takes a snap, handoff left. Dominic Anders battling for some ground, gets inside the 15, close to the 14. Picks up three. Make it four. They're going to spot it right at the 14. Second and six for the Blue Devils. Trying to put this back into a two-possession lead, leading by two. A touchdown and the extra point, a nine-point lead would make it a two-possession game. That's what they're thinking right now. Streaks jumping at the line of scrimmage. Handoff goes left. Devin Smith tried to get to the outside, and he slowed down from the backside as Jason Kelly got him. Didn't let go. Myler finished off the run, polishing off Smith, who never did get to the outside, and they're going to spot the ball down at the 15 for a loss of a yard. Brings up third down. Third and seven. Not many plays for negative yardage against the Blue Devils tonight. Where's Carson Gay going to line up? He's been the big, done most of the damage tonight. He's the wing back to the right side. Two running backs behind Austin. They fake to him, rolling right. Austin goes to the air to a wide open man in the end zone, and Cale Houghton catches it for the touchdown. They faked to Gay, and that left Houghton wide open in the end zone for the 15-yard touchdown pass.
You have to be impressed with Coach Little. I thought that was a great play call. Gay's the guy that, I mean, we have to keep an eye on him. In fact, keep a couple of guys in the neighborhood. And they had not thrown the ball very effectively tonight down the field. A few screen passes, but that one, the fake to Gay, and then the guy was wide open in the end zone.
And a very important extra point attempt coming with the Streaks down 8, 6:03 to go in the game. The Streaks put the rush on. The kick has plenty of distance. It's good, and it's back to a 9-point lead for the Blue Devils, 35-26, with just over 6 minutes remaining in the ball game. It's the Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
The Knox County Humane Society, Calvary Assembly of God, Gillsburg Heritage Days, and Knox County Teen Court all received $100 from Hometown Hundreds, courtesy of F&M Bank and Gillsburg.info. Nominate your favorite charity by visiting Gillsburg.info. Keyword hundreds.
With the Yum Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more. Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
6:03 to go in the game. Silver Streaks need two possessions in the final 6 minutes and 3 seconds to have a chance. Now trailing Quincy 35-26. Galesburg turns the ball over on a fumble just on the other side of the 50-yard line, and Quincy takes advantage of the short field, 54 yards in 9 plays, and they take 4 minutes and 27 seconds off the clock, shortening the game a bit. Kind of a surprise in the middle line, Jim. Limestone knocked off Dunlap, 19-15. Yeah. Big loss for the Eagles.
Yeah, they are still playoff eligible, but, again, you lose a game like that, and it makes that playoff assignment, if you get it, so much harder.
Right, DeAndre Morin back into the game.
Good.
And he receives the ball a yard deep in the end zone. He was ready to run it back, but you can't do that in high school ball once the kick goes into the end zone. So the Streaks have it at the 20. One benefit of not running it back is no time goes off the clock.
Yeah,
so
great.
The Streaks need as much time as they can get here.
See DeAndre back out there. I had the binoculars there, and I don't know if they were hiding. I just couldn't find him on the sidelines. I thought, well, maybe he'd gone back to the locker room, but no, he's going to be split along with two others wide to the left here as the Streaks go to a passing formation and then hand it to Myler.
The single setback who gets to the outside. They run it to the opposite side of the field. He's got some running room up the far sideline. Steps back avoiding a tackle and then run out of bounds right at midfield at the 50. He just stopped at about the 46-yard line, let the Quincy defender run in front of him, and he hopped backwards. And then once the defender was past him, he picked up the extra 4 for a gain of 30. And Myler has 235 yards rushing tonight on 18 carries.
Wow, well, they had Quincy bamboozled to where they were sure we were going left side in a passing play, and we just ran right with Myler.
They run that same setup. They go Myler up the middle, gain 7, 8, 9 yards to the 41-yard line of Quincy. And Gillsburg very quickly with time, the biggest enemy right now, trailing by 9, quickly downfield into Quincy territory in 2 plays. 9 more yards on the ground for Nick Myler. Second and one, 5.5 minutes to go in the game with Quincy leading 35-26. Quincy had a man running off the field. He did not get off the field before the Silver Streak snapped it. The play goes to the right. No flag goes down for too many men on the field, and the Streaks would decline the penalty anyway as they get the first down to the 34-yard line, a pickup of 7 more.
Yeah, almost looks like Quincy's got into a prevent defense.
Yeah.
we're running it at will here. We've got officials having a conference. I guess there was a flag.
Way down on the far side of the field. Way, way, way over there. It came at the end of the play, so they're going to add 5 to the end of the play, and now the Streaks have it inside the Quincy 29-yard line.
Well, our chances increase dramatically if we can score quickly here. At 35-26, again, you're 2 scores away, so we need to score quickly. See if we can't make something happen on defense.
Set penalty on Quincy for 70 yards. Handoff right. Trying to bounce to the inside to Fernando Diaz, and then he just sort of crumples down inside the 20-yard line right at the first down marker of the 18. No, they do not measure.
Get a little
Silver Streaks continue to move it downfield quickly.
Stop of the clock at 5:09, and now we've got a whistle just as the ball was snapped.
The Streaks were still shuffling, trying to get into position. And what's the call going to be? Nope, they're just putting the ball back where it was, and they're going to say... So apparently the Silver Streaks must have just snapped that one before the officials had told them they could. So now shifting around, Morin and Mitchell line up wide right. Caleb Clay comes as the single wide out to the left with Myler lined up. Or Diaz, rather, up the middle, finds a hole. Big hit at the 10-yard line, hangs on to the ball, though. Still on his feet, and once again we see... just a crowd of bodies piling up. Diaz never did go down. The officials finally stopped the play with forward progress to the 10-yard line. Gain of 8 by Diaz. It'll be 2nd and 2.
Brew comes out there holding his hands up in the air to say, hey, it's not me. I'm not doing anything.
7th carry of the night for Fernando Diaz for 44 yards.
When you run straight up and down, though, like Fernando does, sometimes that happens. He really got popped and lifted up in the air there at about the 10.
2nd and 2 from the Quincy 10. 4:13 and counting in the fourth quarter. Streaks down 9. Myler up the middle. Gets to the first down marker. Now still on his feet. Spurts forward inside the 5. Hits 1st and goal. Silver Streaks at the Quincy 4. Silver Streaks had 6:03 to go when they got this drive. It's now at 4:05 and the Streaks are down to the Quincy 4. 1st and goal. Ross under center. Myler, the single setback. The toss to it. Trying to get left. Cuts up the middle, and he goes in for his 5th touchdown of the night. Myler goes the last 10 yards on his own. He's at 261 for the night, and the Streaks are back within 3 with just under 4 minutes to go in the game.
Well, we knew from the opening drive that we were going to have a big night rushing the football. Didn't know that Nick would quite get 261, but actually we said maybe he and Morin could both get 200, although Morin went out with that injury there early in the third quarter. Has just since come back. The Streaks will line it up to go for 2 now at 35-32.
Toss to the right side, go to Myler again with a man in pursuit. Myler throws it, and then it's batted down in the end zone. Streaks trail by 3 as the pass fails with 3:56 to go in the game. Now the Streaks need some magic to get the ball back, trailing 35-32. After a 7-play scoring drive, they covered 80 yards in just 2 minutes and 7 seconds.
It looked like that was designed to be exactly what it was. It was a halfback pass, but the Quincy defense got on Myler so quickly he really couldn't even cock his arm back and get ready to throw it. He finally did get it off, but no way he could put much steam behind it. And they get the stop. Fortunately, it really wasn't. At this point, doesn't look like that's really going to matter so much. Still a 3-point game. I guess now we would tie with a field goal rather than win it. But we're a long ways from getting that opportunity. 3:56 to go, 4th quarter. We've got to get a stop and then get it back down the field.
Thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Quincy tonight as Jim and I are traveling in a 2014 Nissan Altima with lots of things happening. At Galesburg Nissan, the certified pre-owned selection, all kinds of deals available. But certified pre-owned comes with a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, emergency roadside assistance for the duration of that warranty, Carfax vehicle history report, and other options available to you. And the Fill a Frontier food drive going on. You can get $500 off MSRP on every new or pre-owned vehicle with a donation of 10 non-perishable food items. The Silver Streaks go with a short kick and flags and whistles as somebody for Galesburg, I'm guessing, crossed the line of scrimmage before the Silver Streaks got the punt away. That's going to take it back 5 yards. Offsides.
Looked like Quincy was thinking maybe onside kick there. They had so many people up front.
Uh-huh.
They don't have Gay back at all, which really surprises me.
Trying to keep him fresh, maybe. To finish off potentially the final possession of the game.
Or put him, actually, there he is up front. Yeah, he's part of the good hands okay. team on the front row right now. Boy, and if you're Galesburg, yeah, that's tough if you don't get the onside kick to give it up in that field position.
So now this time they go with a shorter kick down the middle of the field, falls, and then takes a Galesburg roll to the sideline, and then all Quincy can do is just fall on it as it was kind of in no man's territory, a well-executed kick by the Silver Streak, kind of dropping it right in the middle of the zone of all of those special teams out there. And all Quincy could do is just sort of chase it down and down it, and they'll have it at their own 20-yard line, 28-yard line with 3:56 to go in the game, leading by three.
Yeah, you don't often see a ball just hit and bounce directly sideways like that, and it caused just a little bit of panic for Quincy right there as the only guy back was Jonte Owens, and he just went over and pounced on that thing.
Evan Austin under center. Up the middle it goes. And again, still on his feet with a long, stuff carry up close to the 35-yard line, to the 34 for a gain of six. Nice hard run by Devin Smith. Running backs on both sides of the ball tonight have not gone down easily.
3.5 and counting now. Silver Streaks desperately needing to get a stop and to get it on this first series of downs. If you give up a first down here, even if you are able to get it back, there's not going to be hardly any time left on the clock, so you need to get this in this series.
Quincy taking as much time in the huddle as needed. 3:10 as Austin comes up under center with a wishbone behind him, hand off to the first man, the up man, Devin Smith, forward, and he gets the first down up to the 39-yard line. That's right where he needed to get, a yard past the marker.
Make it really, really tough on the Silver Streaks now, and will have scored the same number of touchdowns in the ball game, but just not able to cash in on the extra points. Joe Ferguson not available tonight.
Joe Anderson.
Joe Ferguson. I'm throwing back to a baseball catcher in the 1970s. Joe Anderson, yes.
Or maybe Jake Ferguson of the Silver Streaks. Not that far removed.
No.
Still 3-0 Royals, bottom of the eighth in Kansas City with a lead over Toronto. 2:35 and counting here in the fourth quarter with Quincy with the ball and a three-point lead. Hand off to the second man, Gay, trying to get to the outside. And there's a big stop. The Silver Streaks finally get in with Mike Velasquez making the stop. It goes a gain of a yard, and the Streaks call a timeout, stopping Quincy at a 2nd and 9 upcoming.
What a feeling that was, Mike, over there. You get a big hit like that, he's usually in the neighborhood. Good tackle with authority. So nice to finally keep Gay to a one-yard gain, but under 2.5 minutes to go now. And things looking grim for the Silver Streaks, but still a little glimmer of hope here if we can get the ball back.
Quincy Notre Dame with a win over Monmouth-Roseville. Tough loss tonight for the Titans, 21-8. QND will be the opponent for Quincy High next week right here at Flynn Stadium as that rivalry renews itself for the first time in 30 years. But a tough loss for Monmouth-Roseville. They needed a win tonight to become playoff eligible. So they're at 4-4 now, and the Silver Streaks trying to avoid going 4-4, as is Quincy. Both teams 4-3, each in search of their own playoff eligibility with a victory here tonight. Again, the home team has won each game in this series for the last 10 years, and each of these games for the last five for sure have come down to just like this. We're 2:25 to go. Quincy with a three-point lead and a 2nd and 9. Coming out of that Galesburg timeout. Austin now brings the team set under center. Out of the wing tee. Hand off to Smith trying to get to the outside. He got some room to run, and then he dives forward. Just kind of going down. I don't know that he ever got hit, but there was a flag down back at the 45-yard line. He's right at the first down marker. Looks like that's all he was trying to do was just get the first down. Well, let's see what the flag is.
Got to think this is against the offense.
I would think so. Standing right there close to the officials is Damon Gibson for Quincy, and he put his both of his hands up on his helmet. Body motion kind of indicating, no, that's not what I wanted to hear. He's trying to listen into the conversation, and the referee looks back at him. This is a long discussion. Holding Quincy. Break for the Silver Streak. So from the spot of the foul, that'll take it back to the 35-yard line. That'll help out the Silver Streaks. And it'll be second and 14. 2:12 to go is where the clock sits with the Streaks trailing by three.
Well, so Quincy took a little time off the clock in that play, but I think we'll take the trade-off to not let them have the play, because if they didn't have a first down, they'd have been just about a foot shy.
Now the back judge is walking over. He's making a signal to the press box, and they've just added 9 seconds to the clock.
Oh.
So it's 2:21, and that must have been what the length of the discussion was there. Now the ball goes back inside the Quincy 35-yard line after the holding penalty. So it's now second and 15. 8 penalties, 80 yards for Quincy tonight. Same formation, 2 setbacks. They go with a double handoff. Gay trying to get to the outside,
yes.
And a big stuff. And now he slips free, but he gains only 3 more after Kelly made the initial hit at the 35, and he got to the outside but picked up only 3 more to the 38.
How did he ever get away from Kelly in the first place?
He ends up losing 2 on the play, but it could have been a loss of 5. And the Streaks use another timeout, stopping the clock with 2:04 to go in the game. And Quincy facing 3rd and 12 upcoming. For Carson Gay, that is the first time he has been stopped for not only no gain, but negative yardage tonight.
And he almost made positive yardage out of
sure
that
did.
One. So, you figure Quincy's going to run this third down play. If they don't get the first down, they will milk the clock. Is that our last time out, I'm assuming?
I believe it is. I think we used one
earlier.
Yeah,
when they were
going
out into that formation.
Yep.
So they'll be able to run a good bunch of clock off even if they don't make it. So if we get the ball back after this, probably looking at about a minute.
Blue Devils 2 for 6 on third downs tonight.
I'll take it with a minute to not getting it at all.
Ball sitting at the Quincy 38-yard line. The Blue Devils need to get to the 50 for a first down. 2:04 to go in the game. Silver Streaks trailing 35-32. Quincy, double fake handoff, rolling right. Austin, looking downfield, finally lets it go, and it's complete. And right at the 50-yard line, we got a flag at the end of the play, and Fernando Diaz is going to get called for a face mask.
Yep.
And if the pass completion wasn't enough for the first down, which based on where the official's standing, it's about a half yard
beyond
past
yep.
the first down marker. But either way, the penalty yardage added on to it would definitely give them the first down.
You know, they bought their time, had a long time for Devin Austin, the quarterback rolling right. We had 2 or 3 guys pursuing him, but nobody could get enough pressure to force him to throw it early.
There's the face mask call. 4th time tonight, the Silver Streaks have been called for a face mask. 4 face mask penalties. The previous 3... the minor face mask of 5 yards. And that's what this one will be as well. First down Quincy at the Galesburg 45 with 1:56 to go in the game. And the Streaks with very few opportunities to stop the Blue Devils now. Huge third down conversion. Biggest one of the season, not only for Quincy, but against the Galesburg defense as well.
Well, a fumble about the only thing that could save us now. And Quincy left last year from Van Dyke Field very disappointed after losing in overtime.
35-28 was that final.
When they had a chance to clinch the title outright and couldn't do it. And Galesburg, at least from a record standpoint.
That's when Chris Anderson went into the end zone and stripped it right out of the Quincy players.
Yeah.
And what would have, again, tied it in the, or potentially tied it in the overtime.
And now Quincy taking a timeout here.
So it'll be first down Quincy from the Galesburg 45-yard line with 1:29 and counting. So they let time run off the clock after they reset the ball. And rather than get a delay of game penalty, they take a timeout. 35-32. Just by way of understanding, I think they just announced the Rock Island score down here, that Rocky beat Alleman 15-14. There was a big groan from the crowd. All right, last year was Galesburg in overtime by a touchdown. 2 years ago here at Quincy, the Blue Devils won by 2, 14-12. The previous year, Galesburg won in double overtime at home, 28-27. Each of those wins at Van Dyke Field got Galesburg playoff eligible with those thrilling victories over Quincy, and last year created that three-way tie with Alleman for first place. The Blue Devils had come to Galesburg 4-0. 2 years ago down here, or rather 4 years ago down here at Quincy, the Blue Devils won by a touchdown. Back at Van Dyke in 2010, the Silver Streaks won by 3, 26-23. Up the middle, just a simple dive play, and they just want to eat clock now. You have to go back to 2005, the last game in this series that you would say was not close. Quincy won 43-7.
Yeah, I'd say that's not close.
But everything since then has been, if not down to the wire, undecided until late in the game, as this one is here tonight. Galesburg has used its final timeout.
Else we did have another one.
Yep. I thought we had used one as well.
But after the first down of the face mask, it really didn't help us any. This will be the final stoppage of play, barring a penalty or a turnover here with 1:24 to go and just second down and six now for Quincy.
And the Silver Streaks facing a formidable task. At 4-2, 2 weeks ago, the loss to Rock Island at home last week. With 12 seconds to go, Rock Island getting the winning touchdown. And now battling Quincy down late as they go with a handoff again to Smith. Rolling right, he'll pick up four more down to the 36-yard line, very close to the first down. And now the Silver Streaks will have a home game with a team out of Canton, Michigan, that won its first five games, has lost its last two, and looks to be every bit as good as advertised. And that's the team that the Silver Streaks will have to beat to become playoff eligible in the last week of the season.
And a reminder, that'll be a Saturday afternoon game.
Noon start, I think, isn't it?
Yep. Let's Michigan get a good start on their six-plus-hour trip home. I'm assuming they'll come to Galesburg and stay overnight.
Now Quincy calls a timeout with 42.8 seconds remaining in the game.
Huh. Seniors want to savor this a little bit, or Coach Little just making sure they know to keep ball security job one.
Royals have added two runs in the bottom of the eighth. They're still batting, leading Toronto 5-0 in game one of the American League Championship Series.
Yeah, good for them.
Again, no Fighting Illini football tomorrow. We'll have the Bears on Sunday on the laser. I'm sure people are getting pretty fired up for that game with the Lions.
Well, if we can win another one, pull another one out of the fire late,
suddenly they'll be 500.
Yeah, I don't think they'll win a whole lot this year, but at least they're finding a way to be respectable. Quincy's starting to whip it up now. Players raising the roof a little bit as they're enjoying the final seconds of this victory over Galesburg.
Facing third and one, and they get another first down with Smith over the right side, just off tackle. He's got the first down, down to the Galesburg 31. And that'll do it. All they have to do is take a knee now with 39 seconds to go in the game, holding a three-point lead. Devin Smith, 22 carries tonight for just 77 yards. But he's been the workhorse here in the fourth quarter as Quincy has salted this lead away for their fifth victory of the season. Austin takes a knee, and that'll do it. With 18 seconds to go, they don't have to snap it again. Quincy ties Galesburg for second in the conference, along with Moline at 3-2. Rock Island wins the conference, and now Galesburg has to win next week to have a chance at making the playoffs. 35-32 the final. Quincy knocks off the Silver Streaks here at Flynn Stadium. Post-game show's coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street. You just can't buy a Nissan for less. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee, OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg, all together better. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, clear skies with a freeze warning in effect due to widespread frost overnight tonight, a low of 28. Sunshine with a high of 53 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, clear with areas of frost as well, a low of 34. Sunday, sunshine with a high of 58. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low down around 42. Monday, sunshine with a high of 71. And Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 52. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 46 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
35-32, Quincy knocks off the Silver Streaks as Galesburg drops to 4-4 on the season. They finish the Western Big Six at 3-2. Quincy Blue Devils are 5-3, also 3-2 in the conference, along with the Moline Maroons, who even their overall record at 4-4. Rock Island defeated Alleman tonight, and the Rocks win the Western Big Six at 4-1, and they go to 5-3, and they get the automatic playoff bid by virtue of winning the Western Big Six. The team is huddling down with Coach Tim Doherty. We'll hear from him in a moment. Nick Myler finishes the night with 5 touchdowns, 261 yards, but not enough as the Streaks fail to convert 2 extra points on kicks and then cannot make the extra point conversion the 2-point conversion. So 3 different missed extra point opportunities, and the Streaks end up falling tonight by 3, 35-32. Let's go down to the side, to the field. Jim Lee is with head coach Tim Doherty.
All right, down on the field with Coach Tim Doherty. Obviously a second straight week, a tough loss and a high-scoring game. And another one of those games, you look back, there were so many twists and turns in this thing on both sides. I guess sometimes you have to sit down and look at the film tomorrow to kind of even remember everything that happened.
No, I'll look at it tonight. There's just so many opportunities, you know. But again, you're playing a team of that caliber. They're very talented, and you know, we just didn't maximize some opportunities. Our kids really, really fought hard. You know, I mean, just 14 points from being 8-0, and it's just heartbreaking. But you know, in a game like this, it just seemed like we had opportunity. There were so many pendulum swings, and it just, I don't know. It is just a frustrating game.
Yeah, you know, we finally got the turnover we worked for, forced them into a fumble, and then we gave it back about 20 yards later, and that was pretty key.
Yeah, and there's no question, because I felt with the momentum, you know, that was a big pendulum swing for us, and then we gave it back. And, you know, there's just too many of those situations like that. That was, you know, that right now sticks in my head, but, you know, you can't. We drove the field, we give off kickoff return. Our kickoff team's been great all year. You know, and then we just didn't maximize opportunities. Kid fought hard, though.
Yeah, with a guy like Cameron Gay, he's just so fast. If he gets an opening, he may be the fastest player we've seen this year. He was pretty special.
Yeah, you know, the quarterback throws two passes. I don't think he can complete that on air. And tonight he made some two great plays. So, you know, they made a few more plays than we did. You know, but it wasn't lack of effort on our part.
Well, you scored the same number of touchdowns. Sometimes it comes down to those extra points. We didn't have Joe tonight, so that didn't help.
No, it didn't. And I was concerned, you know, coming in. And, you know, that's the, you know, I guess the price we pay. He's got a soccer game tonight, and I'm not mad at him, but, you know, it just put us a little bit, you know, out of sync on that. But I don't know, you know, just we've been practicing since June 2nd, so you think, you know, next guy up, it'd be fine.
We probably can compare numbers on how much Nick Myler ran for tonight. We had 261. Boy, the line did a great job, and he does what Nick does.
Yeah, he did, you know, and I thought DeAndre ran well, you know, early. He came out of the game and kind of got us a little bit out of sync because we had to jury rig some things offensively. But, you know, I thought our offensive line played maybe our best game of the year, you know, and I don't know. I don't know if I want to look at this film, but, you know, just kids played hard.
Was the formation that Quincy used a few times where they'd split five guys wide something new or something they've used on occasion this year?
No, we had not seen it. We had all but two films. So, you know, Rick always has something, you know, like that. And that wasn't, we burned a timeout, if anything, and then they came back to it. But, we hadn't seen it, no.
Yeah. Well, we had, I think, four face mask penalties tonight. Some of those are hard to avoid, personal fouls. It was just, those are things that come back to, you know, I guess, kind of back to haunt you in a close game, too.
Yeah, you know, that last series in the first half, you know, I talked to them. They dropped two flags for holding and picked them both up, you know, and four or five face masks. I it was just a crazy game.
Well, Rock Island did hold on to win tonight, so the bottom line is we still need that fifth win, and we can get it next week. A pretty good team coming into town that we hear.
Yep, you bet.
All right, Coach, thanks.
You bet, thanks.
And thanks, as always, to Tim Doherty joining us here in the postgame. We'll take a timeout. We'll take a look at the final numbers and set up that game next week when we come back here on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks Football and WGIL is brought to you by Two Painted Ladies, offering upcycled furniture and unique handcrafted gifts. By Animal Medical Center, providing the finest veterinary care possible. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Gillsburg, your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Have you ever compared football to your auto insurance? One fumble can cost you the game. And with auto insurance, not having the right amount of coverage is a weak offensive line. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance in Gillsburg. We'll make sure you have deductibles you're comfortable with, so no matter what play is made, you'll avoid the tackle. And our money-saving auto home discount is an automatic first down. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Rockford Mutual Insurance are the game-winning touchdown.
One call does it all. And that call is to us, Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Hi, I'm Neil Thomas. You already call us when your drains clog, your air conditioning quits, or your furnace goes out. But how about a bathroom remodel? With just one call to us, we take care of the entire project so you don't have to work with four or five contractors. Leave the worries of coordinating all the different trades required to complete your project to us. It's that simple, so give us a call today for a free estimate at Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
Postgame statistics brought to you by Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg. Streaks carried the ball tonight 43 times for 415 yards, 261 of those to Nick Myler, who ran for 5 touchdowns on his 22 carries. DeAndre Morin, 12 carries for 107 yards tonight. Not a bad night for him, although he did not carry the ball in the second half after he was injured on the kickoff run back after Quincy scored on the first possession of the third quarter. Fernando Diaz carried it 7 times for 44 yards tonight. Jacob Ross recovered a fumble for a loss of 2, and Caleb Clay had a fumble recovery for a gain of 5. Jacob Ross passing the ball tonight, very low numbers, 3 for 8. He did not have a completion in the second half. 19 yards through the air, all of those on the 3 receptions by Nick Myler. Streaks were penalized 9 times for 57 yards. For Quincy, 47 plays on the ground tonight for 322 yards rushing, 190 of those from Carson Gay, who ran for 2 touchdowns. Devin Smith, 22 carries for 77 yards and 1 touchdown. Devin Austin, the quarterback, 4 carries for 39 yards. Derek Green ran it 3 times for 10. Dominic Anders, 2 rushes for 5. And Cameron Gay had 1 run for a yard. Austin, the quarterback, 3 for 6 passing for 32 yards and 1 touchdown. The touchdown reception by Cale Houghton for 15 yards. Carson Gay had 2 receptions for 17. Quincy finishes the night 8 penalties, for 80 yards. Blue Devils win it 35-32. They're 5-3. Silver Streaks 4-4. Both teams finish tied for second with Moline with 3-2 records in the Western Big Six. Rock Island defeats Alum and the Rocks win the conference. We'll be back to wrap it up from Quincy after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
With the Young Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more.
You have a chance to win a $50 Cherry Street Restaurant and Bar gift certificate each week with a Young Ford Pro Football Pick'em. Get signed up by logging onto our website at WGIL.com. Look for the Young Ford Pro Pick'em icon near the top of the page. Make your picks each week during the regular season and you could win.
Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
It's the Pro Football Pick'em with Advanced Plumbing and Mechanical.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Trying to convey an idea to somebody else never results in the vision you had in your head. Take matters into your own hands. Let Breedlove Sporting Goods help you design your next t-shirt. Navigate to BreedloveSports.com, click on the t-shirt designer icon, and put your mad design skills to work. Start by picking your canvas, t-shirts, polos, hoodies, even drinkware, signs, and banners. From there, you can customize everything, color, artwork, text, numbers, even upload an image. You can be the designer with Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Get started now at BreedloveSports.com.
Galesburg Nissan's bottom line sales event is going on now. 0% financing for 72 months plus rebates on all 2015 Sentras and the best-selling Nissan Altima. 0% financing is also available on our exciting lineup of SUVs featuring the fuel-efficient Rogue, the luxurious Murano, and the 7-passenger Pathfinder. With over 100 new Nissans in stock and more arriving every day, the selection has never been greater. Bottom line sales event going on now at Galesburg Nissan, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Final score, Quincy wins at 35-32. Another disappointing loss for the Silver Streaks. Jim, Galesburg has lost four games this year by a total of 14 points.
Yeah.
Devastating.
Yeah, really is. And it does show that the schedule was, and we still got a game to play, but a lot of parity. A lot of parity this year. And not only in our conference, but certainly the Dunlap game. In fact, I would guess you could throw a lot of those Middle Illini teams, Pekin, Limestone, not so much Washington, they're dominant.
Yeah. But
maybe even Metamora, because they played all of them in a tight game. You could
yeah,
throw
did.
So many teams in the western and central part of the state in a pile, and on any given night come out with completely different results. A lot of really good football games. It's just unfortunate to come up short in so many of these,
yeah,
and lose four of them in such tough fashion. And next week is one we just really have no idea. We know this team coming in had a lot of press before the season. You said they won their first five. They've dropped a couple, but I'm assuming their competition is pretty rugged up in the Ann Arbor, Michigan area. I've got a feeling they're going to come in with a lot of talent and maybe some college-type talent that we haven't seen.
Maybe, yeah.
But who knows? Maybe they're overrated and we can step up and get them. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, you know, another game on the schedule you didn't mention was Marion, and we look at what they've done. Their three losses are to two 6-1 teams and a 7-0 team.
Yeah.
And then we lost to them by two. So now,
after leading by 12?
12, I think it was, yeah. Now, they're playing an 0-7 team tonight. In fact, and I think the team that they're playing next week has won only once, so they ought to finish strong.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, tonight, unfortunately, we were playing uphill most of the night.
Yeah.
And that was from the time they took the opening kickoff, or the second return kickoff, and tied the game there. It was, and missing the extra points. That's so many times you can come back and overcome those and overlook it, but in this one, it really gets magnified. You missed three extra points. You lost by three.
Yep.
You know, other things did happen during the game. Too many penalties, a couple of turnovers. You can blame those, but those extra points really stick out tonight.
Yeah. Our final order of business, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. And we've talked about this before. Kind of hard to identify sometimes a guy when you're waiting for somebody to make that crunch time play of the game coming down the stretch or at a key point. And because the Silver Streaks didn't get one that we were hoping for them to get, we end up falling by three tonight, 35-32. But yet, I still think we have a worthy recipient tonight.
In a couple of key spots. Caleb Clay was Johnny on the spot, able to, recover one of our own fumbles, which we fumbled forward
and ended up picking 5 or 6 extra yards up to keep a drive going, and then recovered.
And then we scored on that drive.
Right, and then Quincy's fumble, he was able to recover that and return it a little bit before getting tackled. So, we like Caleb tonight for the player of the game.
That was the play when we were down 2. We got the turnover that we needed. Unfortunately, once we got set to the line of scrimmage and ran a few plays ourselves, we ended up giving it right back. But Caleb recovers that fumble, and that gives us a chance to get that lead in the fourth quarter, which the Streaks unfortunately could not finish off. So next week, the Chiefs of Canton, Michigan coming to town. It's a Saturday game, a noon kickoff. That'll put our pregame right around 11:30. Jim, we'll see you back at home where it's been tough to win games this year. You'd like to say your home field advantage, but it just hasn't been there, and it's not going to get any easier next week. So I'm still excited and curious to see what they bring down and see how it turns out.
Yeah, and I'll see what I can find out. Usually I just go onto the IHSA webpage and find out who our next opponent is and get all the contact information. Well, I don't think Canton, Michigan's on the IHSA webpage, so we'll find out who coaches them and get a little scouting report and see what they're going to bring to town on Saturday at noon.
Our thanks to Nick Simpson at the Downtown Studios, our broadcast engineer. Thanks to you for being with us, although not for the outcome we had hoped. Galesburg falls tonight at Quincy 35-32. For Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. Good night from Flynn Stadium.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.